Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Cisternino, and I hope you're ready for another helping of The Slop.
If you watch BB for the strategy, this is not the place for you to be. So let's have fun, let's get messy. Throw on your unitard and come with me. Welcome to The Slop. Now let's get sloppy.
Yes, thank you, Will from America, for the brand new theme song to The Slop, the only Big Brother podcast that is exclusively focused on all of the nonsense that happens every week in Big Brother All Stars. We've got a great show here today. We're going to have some special guests along the way. Big Brother 20's Rachel Swindler is going to be here. The 17th house guest, some would say, Eric Curto, podcast co-host of Nicole Anthony, will join us, and we'll hear again from the WWE's Ryan Popola, who is going to be back to talk about the Janela C power rankings and more. But I'm very excited to have a great co-host with me to talk about everything on The Slop. Please welcome the great Pooya Zambakili. Pooya, how are you?
I am doing phenomenal, Rob. The Slop at the top of the week. We got a bop now on The Slop. It's all rhyming. It's all incredible. I've got my coffee ready, and I'm excited for what should be a fun show today.
Should be a lot of fun to get into everything. So happy to have you here with us to talk about it.
Thank you.
On the second outing ever for The Slop. Of course, I want to get this show even more interactive. We want to hear from you all week long. If you see slop happening that should be talked about on this show, go ahead and use hashtag RHAP slop or slop RHAP. I'll look at both. What's better, Pooya? I think last week I said slop RHAP.
If you've already been using it,
I think
we
slop
run
with RHAP.
It.
I think that's what we do. Slop RHAP. And so we got a lot to talk about here again this week. And we had last week we had Jenny Autumn co-piloting with me. She was really great, really fun to talk to. We were talking about how which person from Big Brother 22 is going to have a podcast after the fact. And I said, boy, I just better hope Enzo doesn't want to get into the podcast game when he gets out of this house. So that's it. I got to just close up shop. I'm out of business.
Your only move, your best move, would be to recruit him and have him take over The Slop, because no one is going to get more sloppy on a podcast than Enzo. And I'm all in on a Meow Meow co-host. I really am.
Interesting. So what's Enzo doing? Is he hosting roundtables, or are we just getting Enzo's take on everything?
I think you need him there for the takes. I think Enzo's someone who will just get flabbergasted at the different people you bring on the panel, hearing their opinions and having very wild opinions on them. So I think he's like your mainstay guy. And then if he wants to grab the mic like you know he's capable of, you give him his own gig, man. You give him his own thing.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Last week we talked extensively about Enzo at the Crayon Factory. Enzo at the, or I'm sorry, the crayon salesman, Enzo at the Bayonne Nipple Factory, yo.
That's right.
We're going to start off with Enzo again, the end zone, where we're going to talk a little bit about Enzo is having some problems in the Big Brother house. The season is only but 2 weeks old, Pooya, but it's been a long 2 weeks for Enzo.
It has been. And the amazing thing with Enzo is I'm not sure which thing we're going to talk about first. Hmm. You never know with Enzo. There's so much to unpack with him.
There's a lot to unpack with Enzo. Why don't we get into talking about Enzo's had a little bit of a dry spell. 2020 has been tough for a lot of people, but it's been especially tough on the Meow Meow.
That's right.
Yes, he hasn't gotten a lot of attention from any lady friends recently, and it's got the Meow Meow a little on edge.
Yeah, Meow's worked up.
He's worked up. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this. And just for our listeners at home who are listening with young children, I mean, probably still not appropriate, but I just want to let you know, I have cleaned this up from the live feeds.
It's the more G version.
Yeah. Let's PG-13 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, just to let you know that we probably will at some point talk about the spoilers from the live feeds that I know a lot of people who are especially sensitive like to know that up front. If that's the case, hope you catch this show and come back and listen after the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother. But okay, without further ado, here is a little bit of Enzo talking to some of his housemates about the dry spell.
You said
quarantine and I've been in quarantine. This
has been my life this year. I've been in quarantine, sequester, and out of Big Brother house. Yo, I'm horny as yo.
Okay, all right, just getting it out there. Enzo,
yeah, he needs it. Enzo needs, to put it nicely, action.
Yeah, Enzo, yeah. No action for Enzo. Okay, he's. I know on another podcast we're not supposed to say the H word. That I know that people don't like.
Your co-host from last week would not have been happy had you said it last week.
Yes.
So
okay, but Enzo is thirsty as F. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Enzo, thirsty as F, yo.
It's a wrap, yo. Like, I'm getting a wife when I get the f*** out of here, yo.
That's Enzo's solution to this problem. You're gonna get married.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, Enzo has divorced once, so he at least will know what he's signing up for. But yeah, Enzo needs to put a ring on it, is what we're hearing. He's trying to put a ring on it. He's trying to look for suitors. He's coming here. He's promoting himself. Everyone's learning about the Enzo. I think the meow meow is going to have a lot of a big posse coming out of this house potentially.
Yeah. Is he old school where that he needs to get married to be able to have some sort of a physical relationship with a woman?
See, I don't know. I mean, we saw him, you know, get busy with a banana this week. Yeah. And it has me doubting that part of him. I think
you think that got him worked up.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Enzo not necessarily needs that. I think it'll make him feel better if he has that. But the meow meow is going to meow meow, Rob. And you can't put the cat in the box.
Okay. Here's more from Enzo.
That's the exact. That's, you know what? I think you're going to end up with someone and be happy.
Yeah, for real. I'm fucking dying. Even my booty calls wouldn't chill me during quarantine because they were scared of the COVID. So it was fine.
Tom, when you get out of here, you got 20.
How do you think, Rob? First, let me ask you.
Yeah.
How do you think the meow meow's messages look? How do you think his booty call messages? What is his text?
What do you mean? Like beyond like, yo, you up?
Right. Like, what is his? Is it just you up? Is that all he's saying? Do you think?
Do you think that he says more? Do you think that he has a lot of he has some lines on text?
I would imagine so. Yeah. I feel like, you know, what's a cat got to do to blah, blah, blah. I feel like, you know, Enzo seems like he spits verses. I feel like he can spit some game, or he believes he can spit some game. Right. It can't just be he doesn't seem like he's light spoken. So I don't think he's going to just say one word. He needs his essays. Also, my pen exploded in my hand.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So,
are you OK? Do you need a minute?
I'm fine. No, I'm good. We're going to
liable to happen to Enzo sometime soon, too.
I know. Now, the jokes make themselves here. But I just have to be honest with y'all. This happened and I don't know how. But
OK, what do you think the debate was like between Enzo and the lucky lady that was debating him about the concerns about coronavirus?
Well, it was ladies because he said booty calls. Mm-hmm. So he tried a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that it was a yo, how's it going?
Yo.
You down to Hulu and hang, or he doesn't say Netflix and chill.
Just shaved my back, yo.
Yo, I got the basement. Yo, it's pretty chill. I know it's the summer. I got an AC unit. And she's like, no. Like, yo, come on. What's the cat got to do? Like, that's how I imagine it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But now they say Enzo, he's had so many COVID tests that he's got to be one of the most tested people in the country.
I got f***ing my nostrils are sore. Like, I'm f***ing something when I get out of here, yo. I can't take it no more, yo. I can't take it, yo. I'm fucking dying. And then they put me in a house with no single fucking girl, Joe. Like, I'm dying.
What about Nicole A?
I like Nicole Franzel, even though she is the other Nicole in the house, and she's literally the person asking the question, still needs to tack on the Nicole A.
Yeah, she...
She can't even be Nicole in this conversation.
No, there's only one Nicole to Nicole Franzel, and that is not Nicole A. Mm-hmm. Nicole A needs the distinction. You got to put the A there for Nicole, just to make sure that we know which Nicole you're talking about.
Have to, yo. Might have to talk to her, yo. She's in Long Island, yo. That ain't too far, yo.
All right. Enzo and Nicole A. What do you think about this? Could this work?
It's not impossible, but I do like that Enzo's
Who says no here? Who says no? Nicole?
I think so. I would think so. I gotta imagine, you know. I feel like the free crayons and
Enzo's
the free...
been working out.
He has been. The homeboy's jacked. He's got his thing. He, you know, he got the banana comp victory. He's got like a little bit of accolades going on. But
we should ask Eric later.
We should. We should find out if like that he falls into her types. My big thing is in the middle of all this, Enzo's clearly like feeling his feels. He's very thirsty. He needs a glass of water and then some. But it sounds like he's drawing the line at, well, she's driving distance, so that works for me.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like that's your big concern? Is the distance?
Yeah, well, he said he was going to marry this person, so you know, he can't have a long distance relationship.
This is true. It's not for everybody. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Not everyone can pull it off.
Okay. So he's very complimentary about Nicole after this. Listen.
Hey, she got a makeover the other day. I'm like, you know.
Dude.
She's cute. She's a cute girl. Without even the makeover, she's cute. I'm dying in here, yo. I think I'm too old for this game now.
Why'd you come back?
Why am I here? Let me do the buyout, yo.
So, first off, he doesn't think Nicole even needed a makeover, so that's a plus when she hears that. But then he sort of ends it on a depressing note of, I'm too old. I'm too old. He was too thirsty, and now at the end of it, he's too old.
Yeah, I don't know if it's this thing of like, if I just say I'm too old, then like that's a good enough excuse for no one to look at me sideways about anything I've said. No one will take what I said seriously. But this was from the heart. You can tell that Enzo's feeling every bit of the things he's saying out loud here. I think he's just trying to suppress it by blaming it on his H.
Okay. I've got more Enzo for you, Puya.
Give me. I love the meow meow.
So... Taryn talked about this on the live feed update this morning that it's a known fact for the live feed watchers that there's a lot of bidet talk going on in the Big Brother house. I have not been lucky enough to get to talk about the BBB, the Big Brother bidet, yet here in Big Brother 22. But that's about to change.
I'm excited because I've also not... talked about the bidet situation either. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a fun time for the two of us to crack open that bottle of bidet.
Crack it open. Okay. All right. So there is a bidet in the downstairs bathroom. I would have thought it was in the HOH bathroom. I feel like that should be one of the perks of winning HOH.
The bidet. But then like, should you have to feel awkward to ask for bidet access?
Hey, That's I think part of the perks of winning HOH, and then you have to go ask the HOH, hey, do you think I could use the bathroom up here? You know, it's got the thing.
Access granted.
Okay, good. Then you get in. Okay, but it's downstairs.
Yes.
But so Enzo, I mean, I guess that this was not something that they had at the Bayonne Nipple Factory. He's right. Not quite sure how to use it. So just to set the stage, Enzo has just left the bathroom. Tyler is showering and Cody is going to go into the bathroom after Enzo. And he finds a very wet bathroom after Enzo has left it.
Enzo just lit that thing up. Almost hits all the fucking seats. Oh my god.
Oh my.
What?
That's a spritz of water. That ain't no piss.
So this debate, Puya, is this urine or is it just a spritz of water?
It's Enzo. I mean, Rob, earlier this week, right? So it was I was doing the live feed update for Friday. So Thursday night, I was all up in those feeds. There was another bathroom-related conversation with Enzo. Enzo talked about how there was no toilet paper, so he used toilet seat covers to wash his butt instead of using the bidet.
If you said that's not a thing.
Right. I think, Rob, is that he doesn't know how to use it. It's water. I feel like, you know, and this is where I'm going to put his age on the line. I'm like, you're too old to be spraying not water around. So it's got to be water. Like, it's got to be water.
Okay. Cody continues to debate this with Enzo.
He says that's the spritz of water.
What the f***ing spritz of water doing on the toilet seat?
Yo, because I got up before it finished.
Why are you dodging it?
Yo, it got too hot. I had to get up. It should hurt.
Are you serious?
I had to get up. It was hurting.
I'm talking all over the gun, then wipe the seat down afterwards.
That's spritz of water.
Just spritzer water. How hot does it get?
I feel like a bidet shouldn't really be pushing out hot water. So I don't think it's, I don't know. But also, I'm kind of with Cody on this one. Just wipe the seat then. Doesn't matter what it is. Just wipe the seat. Why is the seat not wiped? You just run out?
What was the scenario where Enzo is being sprayed so violently with the water that he just had to run out of the room?
Yeah. It's like when you're getting ready for the shower, you know, you turn the water on. If it's too hot, you might have that instinct to like back out. But like to do like a 10-meter dash out of the bathroom, I feel like that's a lot. So he could have just moved aside and like figured it out. So I don't know about that one, Enzo. So it's a little too quick.
Yo, I'm just learning that.
Yo,
my f***ing ass got all wet.
You don't wipe before you sit down. You just sit down.
Because I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I like Enzo tries to turn it around then on the end. Like, oh, yo, you don't wipe the seat? What's wrong with you?
What are you, an animal? Like,
that's gross.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like you got to both do it. You do it when you leave. They do it when they come in. You make sure like you've double checked it, Enzo. So that's the thing. So I got to imagine. So I grew up in Dubai. And in Dubai, it is pretty much customary, 9 times out of 10, every bathroom has a bidet hose next to it.
Yes.
Yeah, it is very big in the culture. I can tell you this, it is not like a learning curve. You don't learn how to use it. You kind of get used to it, but there's no like, I got to like learn how to adapt to this. So Enzo not knowing how to handle a bidet is very funny to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you think we'll have a segment on the TV show ever about the bidet?
It's our beloved show. It's Big Brother. I feel like this is right up the alley of like, you know, you got the liquids joke, you got the bathroom joke. I feel like this is up there. It's only a matter of how many good DRs can we get out of it. And I can already picture Enzo being angry talking about this in the DR.
Casting
so yes.
Gold. He's been casting gold. And we questioned the call on the All-Stars. At least I did. I said, really? Enzo? They knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We had, you know, a lot of swearing that we had to bleep out of the show already so far. So I think we need to bring it back. And there's only one person that can help us with getting back to G-rated language in the Big Brother house. And that is the great Nicole Franzel, because that she does not use obscenities. I'm not sure if we have any clips of that, but she actually is going to be very TV safe. And she doesn't want to disappoint her fans. So here is a clip from Nicole Franzel talking about, I believe she's playing a game with Christmas as she uses an interesting phrase.
That's what I'm saying. You did nothing to her. I get it, though. People do that to me all the time. It's just like, game on, mother freaker.
Yeah. Game on, mother freaker.
Yeah. Who would have thought? I don't know about you, Rob. It doesn't hit the same for me. I would much rather just not use it at all than to say mother freaker. But that being said, it's very Franzel brand. It's very much on brand for her.
Yeah. Liv is asking mother figure. No. It's no. Game on, mother freaker.
Game on, mother freaker.
Yeah. I would love to hear Samuel L. Jackson maybe at some point adopt this Franzelism.
Yeah, I'm sick of these mother freaking snakes on these mother freaker plane.
Game on, mother freaker.
Game on, mother freaker. That's right. That's right. That's a good one. That's a good one from Nicole. Okay. Let me see. We have so many different things to get to today, Puya.
A lot.
Yeah. I got one other Franzel clip to play here today. That, you know, a lot has been made about Nicole versus you know, her reputation of, does she get along well with other women? We've heard this from even before the season started, and that there was rumors that were spread about her, and she's had to defend herself quite a bit in the house. She had a conversation with Kevin over this weekend, and she talked about what it is about her, and Kevin asks her the question about is there something about you that makes other women wanna not be friends with you, because I'm not seeing it if there is. Okay, so here's Kevin talking with Nicole.
Do you have this effect on females?
Huh?
Do you have this effect on females, or really?
Michelle hated my guts.
Who's Michelle?
Ouch.
Some accidental shade towards Big Meech. How do you think that will be received first?
Well, I look forward to the Twitter sphere after this. I tell you that.
Okay, but outside of Big Meech,
from my season 18, just randomly flipped on me. But no, I have 9 bridesmaids.
9 bridesmaids.
One short of a dime. This, yeah, I liked. This was very funny to me, because at no point am I going to be like, hey, look at the quantity I can bring forward as proof. Like, not 8, not 7, 9 of them. But yeah. Also, I feel like the duties of a bridesmaid, groomsman, like, there are some duties there. So these are all, you can't, like, no one's going to turn you down when you ask them for this duty. So it's not like they volunteered as tribute and said, I love you so much, Nicole. You're the realist. I'm here for you. Let's do this. Let's run the world. It's more like, I'm not going to say no to you because you are going to get mad at me. So,
what would be the number of bridesmaids that, if you heard it, you would say, maybe Nicole doesn't get along great with women? If she had 6.
I mean, 6, that's a half a dozen. That's still a lot
still
of
pretty
people.
Good.
Like, you still have to get, like, you almost have to get a panoramic shot for, like, the whole wedding party to get 6 people in the photo. Mm-hmm. But I feel like even 1, I'd be like, that's your ride or die. That's good. If it's 2, it's like, oh, that's your sister and your ride or die. That's good. I feel like there's no number that's going to make me think any type of way about this. I'm very intrigued that this was the selection. I'm mm-hmm. very, it's a very, very interesting choice.
Yeah. Okay. 9 bridesmaids. I feel like that is sounds like a lot.
It's a whole squad. Like, 2 more and you have a soccer team. Like, that's a lot of people.
She was rolling deep.
Yeah. Yeah. With an entire squad. I'm telling
also,
you.
Also, that just to go to the backstory there, was Janelle at her wedding also? Was that a thing?
I feel like I've been seeing, I don't have confirmation on this. I feel like that was one of the things that had come up, but I haven't seen confirmation, nor have I dug into it to really figure it out.
Okay. All right.
So that might be a breaking news situation through the audience.
Yeah, that would be great if we could get, like, the whole guest list of, like, all the Big Brother alumni that were there.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, this week I found out, I saw a photo of Big Jeff, Large Jeff from BB17, and Ian was at his wedding. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes.
That was a new thing.
Not Jeff,
right?
Schroeder. So, not Jeff Schroeder.
No, Large Jeff, not Big Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the preseason, there was a whole thing on Instagram where Jordan was talking about how Jeff was going to go make a movie. Was that just like Bazinga, they got us? Or is Jeff Schroeder really going to be in a movie?
No, I saw like a screen cap or like an image or a video of some sort from his, I believe it was a still from his Instagram where he's at a movie set. So that is a real thing. What movie? That's a good question.
It's amazing.
Yeah. The Schrodes themselves. Okay. Yeah.
Let me play a voicemail for you, Puya.
Oh, yeah.
That I have a all week we collect voicemails. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail if people want to call in and leave us a message. And I have a voicemail that is for you, Puya. And
what?
This is from one of our listeners. Jordan has a question. He actually has a lot of questions. Okay, here, this is Jordan.
Okay, a lot of questions. Let's go.
How do I know if this is working?
It's working.
Hi, Rob and Puya. My question is, I have not gotten my started my free.
Who's he talking to?
I'm not sure. You said it was for me. Is Jordan talking to me right now?
It'll get there. Or maybe he's like, hey, what are you doing? Are you paying attention?
Yeah.
He's calling you out.
Okay. Maybe.
All right. Well, listen, if he's going to call you out, then all we have to say is...
Game on, motherfucker.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to be rolling with nine friends, nine dudes, man.
I've got nine podcast panelists, okay? You think
exactly.
I can't get along with other podcasters, okay?
I got nine updaters. We're good friends. They've got my back.
Nine deep in the LFC, okay?
That's right.
Sample. That's not right. Okay. Well, you're never going to hear this now.
We're hearing
it. I have not started my free feed time, whatever, because I was going to try and time it for when things are going to get exciting. When is that going to be? And should I bother? I also don't have cable and have not watched a single episode this season. I rely only on Taryn. I was not convinced this season was going to happen at all. So my question, well, not to you, Rob, but Puya, to you, should I even bother doing anything other than listening to Taryn, etc.? I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
All the way off because you're not going to play it.
This is a really loaded, jam-packed voicemail. Jordan is sitting on a free code for 1 month of feeds, doesn't want to cash it in yet, wants to make wait. He's going to wait until something is happening because he wasn't even sure the season is happening. Spoiler alert, it is. It's on. It's happening.
It's here.
Doesn't want to. He has not watched the show either. He's only listening to Taryn. Should he even bother?
So there's a lot to unpack here. I feel like, Jordan, how did you know to whisper like it's on the feeds, right? How did you know that
had
you not watched
good.
Feeds? It was very good. Very good reenactment. So the big question here is, are you enjoying your experience on the Taryn train? Because if you are, then you're set, my friend. You're doing well. The other thing you got to ask yourself in a more serious tone is, it depends on how many of the people you like and how many of them you're intrigued in seeing. Because if you get it now and you have it for a month, that's 4 weeks where you're going to see the most of the house guests there and you don't know who's going to be leaving, right? So maybe your favorites are still there. Maybe they get clipped out next week and then you're going to lose out on them. So I say use your month because honestly, if you don't like it, no harm, no foul. You go back to the podcast. If you do like it, you're going to be in for one hell of a ride and you're going to probably keep the all access pass. We'll see. And then ultimately, my other question to you, Jordan, is, and you can at me if you don't want to answer it on the air next week, is, are you listening to only the Taryn ones or are you listening to ones with Rob there too? Because those are different. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to get the sound bites or like at least a little bit of the snippets of what's going on the episode, Rob's got you covered with the soundboard as well.
Yeah, we'll do a full recap of the episode. You could also, I guess, skip watching the episode. All right.
That's true.
All right. So we're about to bring in our first guest. Rachel Swindler is standing by. But first, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Honey. Honey is the browser extension that saves you money, yo. Yes, that's right. Puya, it's so frustrating when you go to make a purchase online and you see that little promo code box just taunting you of, hey, got any promo codes? And it's like, I'm trying different ones. I got 9 promo codes. None of them work.
No, it's there to just be like, don't you wish you had a code for me? Don't you wish you could come hang out over here in this lounge, in this space? You can't because you don't have anything to offer.
Yeah, you keep trying different combinations. It's not working. Like Enzo texting all those women. None of it's unlocking the door. That's where Honey comes in, because Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, and they know all the codes. So you go in, you have the Honey browser extension, it lights up. It's going to find the one, until finally it's going to find the one that's going to save you some money.
Access granted.
And then you will be having more money to spend. It's great. It's really an amazing thing. Don't go online shopping without it. All you have to do is click the apply coupon button. If Honey finds a working coupon, you watch the price drop. It's great. Any sort of like things that I've done in the past of sending a gift basket, flowers, works great on all of those sites. Any place you're going to shop online, you're going to give it a try. Well, you have nothing to lose except the high prices. So go ahead and give it a try. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting the podcast. So get Honey for free. Just go to joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. All right. Very excited to bring this woman back to the podcast. She was one of the breakout stars of podcasting in Big Brother 21. And now she is back and she hosts her own podcast and YouTube channel. It's called Outside the House. Please welcome the great Rachel Swindler. Rachel, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are y'all doing?
Rachel, it's such a beautiful setup there.
I know. Thanks to my boyfriend, I did nothing of this.
Okay. Yes.
And also, I just want y'all to know that I have fallen out of this chair onto my ass literally 3 times today in front of the one. I think it was Sam in the green room.
Yes.
Okay. I fell in front of him on... Like, my boyfriend built this chair last night and he put the base on, I think, a little skewed. So I've fallen off 3 times. So, and I broke.
He put it together. He didn't like build it out of like wood, right?
What'd you say?
He put it together. He didn't like build it out of like, put like nailed wood together.
No. He, I don't even know what he did. I'm just like, we've got to fix this. He said, yes, I built it.
Okay. Well, Rachel, it's so nice to see you. So nice to get to hear from you. Tell us about what you're doing this season.
This season. So Bryce, who was the host of the Bryce McClay, he was the host of the AfterBuzz TV show that we did for Big Brother. But AfterBuzz has taken a hiatus until...
Yadis.
Yes, if you will, until September they're supposed to be. I don't know. I haven't heard anything else. So because of that, he reached out to me and he was like, hey, I'd love to do, you know, a podcast with you. And I was like, you know, I was thinking about doing it, but I'm always like, I think about doing it. And then once it gets into like the nitty gritty of it, I'm like, oh my God, like I want to talk about all this. So I'm doing that. And then I've also contemplated doing some impressions, weekly impression recaps, but I'm starting to get like more motivated now that we're seeing like diary room sessions. And so I'm able to be like, okay, I see a character there. So
okay,
I'm excited.
Well, congratulations on the new show that the fans are very lucky to get to hear from you every week now during the season. And so we want to get your takes here in the early going of Big Brother 22 All-Stars. Rachel, did you start to hear any buzz in the pregame? That did you get a call from casting? Did they want to check your availability?
No, they didn't want to check my availability. Unfortunately, because of the way that I went out, I mean, with the terms of All-Stars, I definitely wouldn't deem me an All-Star. But I mean, I guess I would. I don't really know. But I didn't get a call, which is okay. I was fine with that. I heard through the grapevine that All-Stars was happening. And of course, at first I was upset because we're literally going through a national pandemic with nothing going on. So I'm sitting here like, I hope I get a call. I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to, but I mean, I would if they called. And so like, I'm having all these things just like go off in my head. But I found out maybe around April that there was going to be an all-star season. And then I started hearing rumblings of people, some that are on the show, some that are not. And, I started to get excited though, after like, drowning in my sorrows for like 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of people that you played with in Big Brother 20 are here this season. You were working closely with Tyler during your season, part of Level 6. And now here is Tyler, part of at least one six-person alliance, if not more. So what do you think about Tyler 2.0?
Tyler 2.0 is basically the same Tyler. I feel like he's playing a very similar game. I think I heard on the live feeds him talk about how he was in the know so much last season that it literally drove him insane. He was never had alone time in his bed. He was constantly being pulled by everybody, which I could attest definitely was. So I heard him say that. So I think he wants to play more of a low key game. But I mean, as we saw in the show a couple days ago, that he's making tons of final two deals. I mean, I don't know. There are so many deals running around this house right now. I cannot keep my head straight on what's real, what's fake, what is going on. But I think Tyler's playing a really good game so far. He's playing like he did last season, but Tyler is such a likable guy. It's very, very difficult to not like him or be scorned by him in a way. I mean,
yeah.
As much as, like, even though he sent me out the door and probably was one of the big masterminds behind my eviction, I still, like, I love him. He's so supportive via social media. Like, he's a really, really great person inside and out. So I always like to say that because I know sometimes people can get it skewed, but he really is such a great person and he's just very likable. So Tyler 2.0 is just like Tyler 1.0, in my opinion.
How do you think that things would have been different for Tyler had KC been in the house with him?
Oh my gosh. Way different. I mean,
better or worse?
Maybe worse. They could view them as a pair. I mean, I thought that, you know, going in, I was like, that's perfect that he's going with Bailey because they're not going to view them as a pair. And, you know, like Janelle and Case were viewed as a pair. And then, you know, Keisha and Memphis viewed as a pair in a sense. But I mean, it definitely could have worked to his disadvantage. But I also could see a lot of people wanting to work with them until about maybe midway. I could see that. But I definitely think it would have made his game worse. I think that this was actually a blessing in disguise.
Do you see anything that Tyler is doing differently in Big Brother 22 than he's did in Big Brother 20?
I don't really see a lot of difference. Maybe not in a showman's. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that wasn't until later.
Yeah. Like he said on the live feeds, maybe just not getting wrapped up into every single thing. And I mean, I think there was something that happened between him and Dave Vaughn, I think. Right. And like
since the last episode.
Yeah, like since the last episode. Are we doing spoilers?
You can talk about spoilers if you have something to say.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like he was so scared to get caught in a lie or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's not really much difference. Yeah. I feel like Tyler's, and there hasn't been enough time to pass by too, to where, you know, his game is going to change. I still see the Tyler who's very scared to go on the block, doesn't want to throw himself into the lion's den. Like when they talked about that safety suite, he was like, I'm not using my safety suite. You know, he was like, I'm saving mine for next week. And I just remember when I was in the house with him, that boy was always paranoid he was going to go on the block. So, I mean, as much as I love him and I want to go very far, I would love to see Tyler on the block just to see how he reacts. Because he was never put on the block, really, except for the hacker comp in our season.
He was very upset.
Yeah, and he was very angry about that. So I can only imagine if he actually got nominated what he would do. But right now he's on nobody's radar. So
Rachel, I really just love to explore like the psychology of the house guests that come back and return. Do you feel like that Tyler, after your season, was more, you know, upset that, okay, I didn't win? Or was he more upset that, okay, now I've been sort of like, some people called me a villain, and I got to make sure that in a return, I'm going to do whatever it takes this time to win, or I'm going to do whatever it takes this time to not be called a villain by anybody?
I mean, he won America's Favorite Player, so was it just like Twitter that was calling him a villain because he was going against their favorites? Is that like the main villain-esque edit that he had?
I think that people, I'm not even sure if it was necessarily like the fans, if it was like that people made him feel bad for, you know, betraying him, and that he was other people in the game might have felt like, okay, that he went against me. So you hear a lot of different stuff, and he's not a person who has really been super vocal about, you know, his feelings on things.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely with his relationship with Bailey and how much of a mess that was in the game and outside of the game, it seems. I think he's definitely trying to right some wrongs with that relationship. I know Tyler at his core. I mean, I feel like I do because I lived with him at least stuck in a house for 6 weeks, but I feel like he definitely would want to right that wrong. And then, so you're saying, do you think he's going in to right some wrongs, or do you think he's going in to like just win the game?
That's the question. Does he want to be perceived differently, or is he going to do stop at nothing to win?
I think he's still going to stop at nothing to win. Mm-hmm. I really do, because Tyler is a true fan of this show. He's going to do whatever he can. He even, when he came in the house, he said, I'm not throwing any competitions. I'm not throwing any of them.
Yeah.
So,
but he's already throwing competitions.
Wait, has he said that he's throwing competitions?
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
So he said there's been moments where he said, like, I'm not going to, if I can afford to, like, there's no way. Like, he wants to, like, show that he's not doing that this season. Like, because I think he understands that that's the perception coming in. That being said, there is some conversation that, like, it kind of looks like you're doing it, but I feel like he's going to give it his best shot. I feel like, okay, you know, with the All-Stars, I feel like he's not going to want to mess with his chances. You know, anything can go wrong overnight. He doesn't want to get in a bad situation, a sticky situation. So I would assume, and I would hope not.
Yeah, because I know in a diary room session he had said on TV, he said, I said coming into All-Stars, I wasn't going to throw any competitions, so I'm gunning for this or something. So maybe he was just saying that, or maybe that was a line fed to him. But I mean, I do know that Tyler threw a lot of competitions in our season two, especially in the beginning. So especially the one where Brett and Winston were on the block. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's playing a very similar game, but I do think he's there to win. I do think he's there to win.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Bailey. You had tweeted the other night about how that Bailey is playing, you know, just as social as she was playing in Big Brother 20. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think like pre-Swaggy if she was just as social. But I think she was. I mean, I remember having very long, deep conversations with Bailey upstairs in the HOH room, especially the week before I was evicted. Mm-hmm. When we were stuck in the have not room together. She's just a really motivational type of a friend. She always has the right thing to say to kind of put that pep in your step. On my birthday, she prayed with me. She prayed over me and had this entire beautiful birthday wish for me. Before it was my birthday, she was always like, let's talk about the things you're ready for the next year. So she was that type of friend that was always trying to uplift you.
Wow.
And, you know, I know. And so I got that sense of her. I mean, you know, definitely my eviction week, you know, I know with the HOH-itis, there were some things that weren't, you know, as uplifting, I guess you could say, but wasn't as uplifting of a week. Mm-hmm. But she really did have a great social game in BB 20. And I don't think that that made the edit as much as a lot of the other stuff. So, but yeah, I have to give it to her for a social game, because out of all the people on the Fauté side, like after Caitlyn was evicted, she was probably like one person that I wouldn't have gone after first.
Yeah.
But she was definitely one of the ones I wanted to keep very close to me on the other side. And that was because of her social game.
How do you think about how she's doing in Big Brother 22?
I think she's doing really well. I mean, she's being very social. She's leading her little yoga sessions. She's having Bible studies with Devon. She is connecting with Janelle. She's connecting with, it seems as though she's connecting with both of the sides. I know it seems like there might be a little bit of a spat with Danny. I'm not really sure if that's what that is. But hopefully she just continues to stay strong and doesn't let people get under her skin. Definitely if she wins HOH, no HOH-itis, no Memphis HOH, I guess you could say. But just like Cody said, you know, you have to remember that the next week, these people, somebody's going to be in power, and you have to make sure that your nominees are satisfied and that you you keep the house appeased for the week that you're HOH. So I just hope she continues to keep her wits about her and continues to stay humble and grounded in that house. And I feel like she'll go very far if that's the case.
I have a question for Rachel.
Yeah.
So first of all, I need to put people on this. Rachel is by far the best Big Brother person to have ever made a TikTok account. Definitely you need to check that out. I'm telling you this.
Why? What are you doing on TikTok?
No, well, I started doing these like impressions of TikTok songs and it went viral.
Oh.
And then I just kind of kept getting a lot of you. I have like 230K followers on TikTok.
Look at you.
Yeah, so I just channeled my creative side, and yeah, it's just been really nice, especially during this quarantine. I've always been the type of person, I've wanted to do more comedy and more impressions and you know, do more in that realm, because that's how I was a musical theater major, so I've always wanted to do more of that, but now I get to do like the low budget version, because I can make TikToks in my house and not have to worry about all these, you know, grand scheme of things. I don't know. TikTok's just really easy to navigate. So it's been fun. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. I got you. That wasn't even my question. My question is, so outside of people you've played with, who are you most excited to see back into this big returnee scene? Who's been the one that has been sparking joy, Marie Kondo style?
Okay. Janelle. I mean, she is just so fearless and she is playing so amazing right now. It's just so exciting. I mean, I'm not going to lie, this season, I mean, when I first saw the cast, of course, I'm very excited that people that aren't necessarily being pushed forward by CBS, or I would like to say the supporting cast, like the people that aren't given the dues and the spotlight, you know, that maybe they deserve. So I was happy to see that for some people, but we're definitely lacking some personality and oomph, I feel like, in the house. It's like, get like just a little boring. Like we need some, like, you know, Caitlyn and JC. And I mean, like, you know, we need the crazies in there. We need the Joshes. Like, you know, we need the Dans. I mean, God, I would have loved to see Dan on, but that's why I'm enjoying Janelle, because I really think that she knows what's going on in the house. She can spot it a mile away. I mean, she's just so knowledgeable and she doesn't care. And I think that we love seeing that in a Big Brother cast member. I wish I could give as much zero fucks as she does, because she really does. And sorry if I'm not allowed to curse. I'm so sorry. But she really is just, she embodies like the perfect Big Brother player, because like she said in her conversation with Pacer, she goes, after this, I go back to my life. I don't need the followers. I'll probably lose followers. I don't care. So that's the Big Brother player I love to see. And Janelle is just serving in every single way. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, what about in the Marie Kondo sense? Who's the house guest that you hold into your hands and this person's not bringing me joy? Who do you want to throw away?
Oh my gosh, why are you doing this to me?
That's what you do. That's how you get rid of clutter.
Who would I like evict, or who would I not want to like?
Yeah, who's not bringing you any joy?
Can I plead the fifth?
No. who? Fill in the blank. What's wrong with?
Oh gosh, who is not bringing me joy? What's wrong with Memphis?
What's wrong with Memphis?
Here we go.
Yes. Okay. Good. Well, let's talk about Memphis's HOH. I've been checking out your Twitter. I know you're not happy with Memphis, and I thought that this might be a fun game to play, Rachel. That that something that's not fun that has happened is that there have been people that have been going online and they're looking up Memphis's different restaurants and establishments that he owns, and they're leaving him reviews that are negative feedback. And I don't think that's uncalled for, but I thought it might be fun if we were going to leave some Yelp reviews on Memphis's HOH so far.
Oh, okay.
If we look this up, if there was hypothetically a Yelp or some service where you could review people's HOHs on the Big Brother Wiki, we could go ahead and leave some feedback in terms of how he's done. Rachel, what rating would you give?
I would give Memphis's, I'll give him 2 stars.
2 stars.
I'll give him 2 stars. Do I explain why?
Yeah, would you leave a rating also?
Yes, I would like to leave a rating for Memphis's HOH week. Unfortunately, he put up 2 pretty weak targets, in my opinion. There were definitely some other people. He really could have stepped up his game if he really targeted some big players this week, caused some drama, maybe listened to his alliance that he created. Maybe you should have done that, because that's what it's about. You have to work. That's what Level 6 did. You have to work together in the beginning because you have to gain the numbers. That is the most important thing. And I think that David or Nicole could have been very malleable, possibly, to work with. And I think that there were bigger targets to get out, and other people that he probably doesn't mesh with a little bit more that he could have put on the block.
Okay. Wait, what would your rating be of the Memphis HOH on Yelp?
I like the 2. I would probably throw a 1 for this reason. So I would say, first of all, if I'm writing this as a Yelper, right? I'm like, all right, HOH room was spotless. House guest was very nice to the HOH room. The AC was too high. The utility bill was a little high on the HOH room. Not a fan of that. And then I think on a serious note, it's just the beauty. It's like he was the girls that meow meow got ghosted by. His alliance came through with, hey, this is what we want. And he's like, sorry, no, I will talk to you when I need you. Until then, I don't need you. I feel like the move he made, the picks he made, I agree with Rachel, are weak, but they could work if you're doing that to just go not on no one's radar and leave the week unscathed. You had a successful reign. You move on. You're back of the line. No one's looking at you. But what he did was, not only did he put 2 weaker people in, he strained all his relationships. Yep. He had a bad time with everybody. No one's trying to mess with the Memphis. Everyone's converting into Nashville fans at this point. And then next week, there's more on his plate, more people on the radar than ever before. So for me, he gets the 1 star just because, hey, congratulations. At least you did win your first. So I'll give you the 1 star for participation plus victory. But then other than that, I'm a little bit not happy with the rest of the situation. Yeah.
Can I edit mine?
Yes.
Okay. Does not work well with others.
Yeah.
Get it together. !
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give 3.5 stars for Memphis.
Okay.
While this wasn't what I ordered, I turned to somewhat enjoy it. Kacer and Janelle never came close to going up on the block. Everybody got mad, and it has not been a boring week. Would be fine with having again. How about that?
Hey, I'll give it to you that. The week has turned in for the better.
Could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse.
We could have had last week.
Yeah. I mean, Keisha went home 2 weeks, right at the 2 week mark of her birthday. Kacer's not going home after the 2 weeks of his birthday passes. Today marks 1 week. Next week will mark two, and he'll be there for it. And I guess we have Memphis to thank for it. So I can't be too mad. Maybe I'll give him I'll bump him up a half star because of the Rob spices that you just threw in there.
Yeah.
I'll give him a half star.
Okay. Rachel, do you have any impressions that you've been working on for the Big Brother 22 cast?
See, I knew you were going to ask me this.
That's okay if you don't yet. I know how this works. It takes time.
I don't really, I don't have a lot, I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
Oh, God, I almost fell over again.
Yes. Okay. Okay. You're going into character.
This is the only blonde one that I have, so don't judge.
I feel like I know where this is going, but I'm excited.
So... Hey guys, my name's Nicole. Ranzel. I was the winner of Big Brother, and I'm coming here to get my two-time win. But I love Davon, and Janelle is just always she's always talking about me. I'm like trying to sleep in the angel. I'm trying to sleep in the room, and Janelle's always talking about me. And then Janelle.
Nicole, it's so nice to get a chance to talk to you. I was gonna interview you.
I have right now. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, Rachel, are there rumors that Christy from last season is going to be on the challenge? Have you heard this?
I saw on Twitter that.
Wait, is this confirmed?
I'm not sure about the Christy. I know someone else from that side of things is confirmed, to my knowledge. I usually try and avoid it, but I believe someone who had some problem with grammatical rulings is in the running.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So talking about sis.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I thought both of those rumored. I have no idea if it's confirmed because I haven't spoken with them about it. So,
Rachel, how did Christy do on the challenge?
I think they picked the right people, to be honest with you. I think that this will be very entertaining. I actually think Christy could possibly do very well. I don't know how, what her workout routine is, or if she works out a lot. I'm not sure in that aspect. But personality wise, I think that she's great. And I'm sure if she knows that she's going on the challenge, she's probably hitting the gym or doing something to that extent.
Could you imagine what it would be like for her on the challenge?
I mean, probably having a lot of intuitions, having a lot of deep combos. I don't know.
Is there any way that we could see what it would be like for her, Christy, to be on the challenge?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wait. I forgot my Christy impersonation? Tommy, I can't believe Tommy's not here because then he's my best friend and then Tommy, but at least I have Sis or Annalise, but I was supposed to win that challenge. I was supposed to. The bird told me that I was going to win the challenge. Okay.
Great. That'd be great. Well done.
You have not missed a step on that. You did not forget it. I'll tell you that right now.
I was like, wait, all I have to do is say Tommy in the voice and then it just comes back for some reason. So
yeah. Rachel, would you consider going on the challenge?
I would have considered it for sure. But again, I'm never contacted for anything. I don't know why.
We'll always contact you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's okay, though. I've not that I want to distance myself from reality TV. I mean, maybe I kind of do, but I don't know. Reality TV has never been something I've really wanted to do. I always wanted to be on Big Brother, and that was basically it. So I'm not upset. Like I said, the only thing I wanted from Big Brother was to go on Bold and the Beautiful, and I didn't get that. Mm-hmm.
So, not yet.
Not yet. We'll just have to get that on our own. But yeah, that was my only, the only thing I asked for. But yeah, I mean, I would probably go on another reality show if I got asked, but I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Can you go back to Tyler and Bailey and just give us a prediction of how do you think this is going to work out for those two people that you played with? That, you know, that there is this, you know, they had this drama, they've put it behind them, but these kinds of things, they're always somewhere in the back of the mind. Could this rift reopen?
Yeah, I talked about this on my podcast. But what I feel like is, from what it seems right now, I don't know how much they even talk in the house, but it seems like they're on fairly good terms. I haven't seen either talk much crap about each other. I don't know, y'all, I haven't, you know, I'm not on the live feeds a ton. I watch it here. I've been watching a lot the past 2 days. But I haven't seen a lot of talk of them, you know, really bashing each other or really having much gang talk. So I think that they're using their relationship to their advantage right now. But as I said, I think later on down the line, their relationship is really going to get tested. And we're really going to see if those inner demons of BB20 start to creep into their mind and they go, wait, I don't know if I can trust. I don't know if I can trust. I think it might be a little more, I don't know who would be more difficult for. I feel like they're both pretty forgiving people. So I'm hoping that they can work together and put it behind them. But I do feel like some inner demons might come up later down the line.
Who goes further?
Oh, Jesus. Gosh. I'm going to say Tyler right now. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm going to say Tyler is because possibly Bailey getting in an altercation with someone, a little bit of her temper that we've seen on, you know, the challenge and on last season. If that ends up happening again, where she gets angry about something and causes a commotion, then that could send her out the door. So I'd have to go with Tyler for right now, but as far as I've seen so far with Bailey, she's been able to keep her composure really well. So, that game doesn't get any easier. So I'm hoping that we can continue to maintain the composure and the sociability. I don't know if that's a word, but you know,
It'll be interesting because it's sort of like, if you, not that I have a lot of experience with this, but it's sort of like, okay, you have somebody that was like an ex and you get back together and everything's fine. But then like, if there's like a new fight, you go right back to where like, I knew you were going to do this.
Exactly.
The sense memory there.
Yeah. Like if you, you know, something happened, you get in a fight, you see that same look that you saw back then or anything like that. It's their triggers. And that house can be pretty triggering.
Yes. I want to ask you also, Rachel, you are the consummate performer. I wanted to know if you had the chance to watch Ian Terry do any of his one-man show performances during his punishment on the live feeds.
I have not. That's like the one thing I haven't seen yet. So I'm so sorry.
Okay. Do you have any advice for people that are going through a punishment?
Oh my Lord, just embrace it for everything that it is. I mean, I was so excited. I mean, I was a little scared when I first got my punishment, but it turned out being one of my best segments that I had. So, I mean, I think every punishment on Big Brother is absolutely hilarious. And the way that they edit it makes it even funnier. So just if you get a punishment, embrace it and act like it's the most amazing thing ever, because they're so much fun. I said it in my interviews. I was like, I'll be punished. I don't care. I would love to have a punishment. Put me in a guitar. Put me in something. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you're only there for a couple of months. This is your one time to shine on the show. Why are people so cranky?
No, you know that you're getting a segment out of this. So milk it for all it's worth. Your face is about to be on screen in front of millions of people. So embrace it for what it is.
Yeah. Why not? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Puya, do you have anything else for Rachel?
I can't say that I do, Rachel. I will say this. I would have wished you were on. I feel like if anyone who's been quarantined, which is most all of us, we saw some of your grading. We saw what you're capable of on Sequester this summer. So that was a treat.
Aww.
And now you got us on the TikTok. Now you got us on the content. So we're still getting our Rachel fix. So I'm happy about that ultimately. But it was very fun to be here and hear you talk about all this stuff.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm like, if I can never be on Big Brother again, and if I'm known as a crappy player, I'll at least be in the community in some way and be creating content and be fun and just have a good time and, you know, provide people entertainment and insight and fun as best that I can. So I appreciate y'all for having me on.
Yeah. Rachel, do you have a winner pick?
So I actually picked, I tweeted out like the first episode, I picked Keisha.
Yes.
I mean, I really thought she was going to go. I mean, and I will say this, since I've been watching since season one, I am rooting for the old schoolers because I just think that would be really cool if an old school person won an all-star season when they've been out of the game for that long. It would just show so much. So mm-hmm. I think that would be the epitome of a winner for an all-star season. So I would love to see someone who's never won before and someone who's an old schooler. Janella Kaser, or even Danny. So I'd love to see, you know, one of them win. So Keisha, I said it first, but then the other night on my podcast, I did say Enzo.
Enzo was a win.
Yeah. I picked Enzo as my winner because at the time I feel like they're talking about everybody else, but Enzo. So he's flying under the radar a little bit. I know Janelle and Kaser have been on him a little more. It seems like they know now, you know, he is on the other side. Like he's acting like he's not, but he is. Mm-hmm. So he's a little bit called out by them, but I think Janelle and Kaser have bigger fish to fry other than Enzo.
Yeah.
So my pick's going to be Enzo for right now.
Wow. Okay. That's a hot pick. And I see in the chat, the great Hoodie Allen said that Rachel was snubbed. This is from XOXO, K Bay. Rachel was robbed. So, so many people feel like that you should have been there, Rachel.
Oh, I would have definitely enjoyed being on there. I think I definitely left. It sucks. Cause like when I think about those 4 weeks or those 5 weeks that I was in the house and I knew everything that was going on and I was in the know and it was the most amazing ride. I can't even explain it to you. And then that 1 week. So
okay.
I would love to have had a second chance.
Rachel, it's so fun to get to catch up with you. Tell people where they can check out your shows.
Yeah. So, you can check us out, on our YouTube channel, From Outside the House. I believe our Twitter's From Outside the House and our Instagram is Outside the BB House.
Yeah. Does it screw you up that did Julie change the signature, sign off for the show? Does that throw off your SEO now?
Oh, well, you mean the other day on the show when she signed off?
Yeah. Here's how she ended the show the other night.
I'm Julie Chen Moonves, and remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Because she used to say, From Outside the House, I'm Julie Chen Moonves.
Yeah.
So now you have to change the name of your podcast to The Golden Rule.
Exactly. Because I was watching that when it was happening. I was like this. And then when she did that, I was like, what just happened?
What's wrong with Julie?
That was really intense. I was like, what was that? And then I heard it was for the Black Lives Matter movement. And then somebody tweeted out it was about Ellen DeGeneres. And so I was like, I don't know.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Somebody said that. It was like a rumor. I was like, oh, this is a jab at Ellen.
What was she saying? Is she saying be nice to Ellen? Or is she saying that Ellen doesn't follow the golden rule?
That's what I would have taken from it. Do unto others as you would want done unto you. Maybe saying Ellen's not treating her.
She's like subtweeting Ellen in the closing minutes of Big Brother. Like, listen, Ellen, if you're listening, but why don't you be nice once in a while? Okay.
Exactly.
Do unto others, Ellen.
Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres. So.
Okay. All right. So From Outside the House on YouTube and podcast.
Yes. And we're going to be on Spotify. And we also, you can view them live on our YouTube channel. From Outside the BB House or Outside the BB House. Sorry. I've got like two different handles, but, and then you can find me on social media at Rachel Swindler or on Twitter at Rachie Swin or on my TikTok at Rachel Swindler 8.
Okay. Rachel Swindler 8.
Yes. I don't know. somebody took my thing.
Seven other people did.
Well, there's a Rachel Swindler, and then there's a. Sorry, I'm trying to find the name of my. Okay, it's called Outside the House on YouTube.
Outside the House on YouTube.
Outside the House.
So. All right. Well, Rachel, it's always so fun to get to catch up.
Yes, you too.
Okay. All right. Check out Rachel's shows. And what day do you do on Thursday after the episode?
Yeah, I do it Thursday after the eviction. We only have one show, so we just recap the week, basically.
Okay. All right. Check it out. Rachel.
But we do it now.
All right. Let's catch up again soon, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for having me,
Rachel.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. There you go, Puya.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. We got two impressions today. Mm-hmm. I was happy about that. Yep. What a treat. Okay. And a wig. And a wig. That was a whole...
Yeah, she has props.
Yeah.
She's ready to go. Okay. All right. This is a jam-packed show. We've got another guest. I'm dying to talk to this person, Puya, because that he comes up all the time. And this is a week where his podcast co-host is on the ropes right now, but we're here to send some good vibes out. And to do so, here is the host, the co-host of Your Reality Recaps. Here he is, Eric Curto.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Puya. How you guys doing? Hey.
Yes, we're doing great. Eric, we're so excited to talk to you. And should I say that you are the co-host of the Best Friends podcast? Is that the podcast with you and Nicole? And is that different than Reality Recaps?
Rob, it is very different. I am basically, we do all of our shows in the TV Co app now. So like all of our Big Brother content or Watch Party recaps, we do them all. Like everything I do basically that was Reality Recaps is now in the TV Co app. But yes, Nicole and I have our own podcast separate from that. And it's called Hello Friends.
Hello Friends. Hello Friends. Okay. Yes. And is that not Big Brother related?
No, it's more like our lives or topics that people want us to talk about. Or it's what it really is it's me trying to make Nicole uncomfortable for an hour. So yes. That's really what it is.
Okay. All right. As we've seen, that is an easy feat at times to make Nicole uncomfortable.
Right. Well, in that house, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Eric, we're so happy to have you here to talk about everything.
I am so excited to be here. And unlike Rachel, I'll be able to stay in my seat.
Yes, you won't fall out of the seat. That's good.
No.
She only fell out of the seat before we got her on. So that's good. But it would have been a great clip if she would have fallen out of her seat on the actual podcast. I know. So
yeah, it would have.
Just if you want to go viral, that's a good move.
Oh, Rob, I have a surprise for you. I mean, isn't it a wig?
Yeah, what is it?
And it's not an impression. I mean, I can show it to you now. It's very much my life. I already have it all under control. Do you want to see it?
Sure. How could we say no?
All right, you ready? Here you go, Rob.
Hi, Rob. It's Nicole Sisters and Georgia. We want to say thank you so very much for all your love and support.
Oh, that was
Nicole
nice.
Nicole Sisters, they love you, Rob.
Yes. Okay, this is wonderful.
They were so excited. I said, hey, I was just got off the phone with them and said, I'm going to talk to Rob later today. And they said, we want to make him a video. And I said, wow, thanks for making a video for our show.
Eric. All right. Let's just talk about this relationship of yours with Nicole, right. that you and Nicole have become. So right. I mean, Nicole only played last season, but since the end of the season and it's reciprocal because we hear Nicole talk about it. You guys have become like you're like the brother that she doesn't have.
Rob, I have a restraining order. Here's the thing.
Yes.
I'm a little bit nervous for when she gets up. No. Yeah, she's an amazing person. I mean, you've been doing this as long as I have. When you find someone that wants to do it, wants to work alongside of you and puts in the same level of work that you do, you don't really see that often. And she was like on board. She knew this is what she wanted to do. And I just never expected to have so much fun doing shows with people, and everyone seemed to really like it and want more. So I mean, we got really close because we would basically be doing shows like every day.
Were you guys sheltering in place together? That it looked like from the videos we saw, you guys were in the same place. Were you guys living under one roof?
You're talking about the intro video.
Yes.
I don't know what I can say, Rob. Of course we broadcast from the same place together, obviously. We have this. I get that. Of course we do that.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you.
Of course we do that.
Okay. All right. Eric, Nicole is in a real pickle this week.
Right?
She's on the block.
It's hard.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, I know she's going to be okay. I know her the person. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that she's young. I mean, not that 25 is young, but she hasn't had a lot of life experiences, I think, that a lot of us have had. She still lives at home, lives with her family, kind of like came out of college, worked a little bit, went right into Big Brother. Whether we want to call that a traumatic experience or not, I don't know that she really processed a lot of what happened last season and then is kind of now thrown right back into it. And unfortunately, in a worst case scenario, I know the conversations we had before she went on was that, yes, she wants to win, but her main goal was she felt bad that she didn't stand up enough for people last year, that she wasn't a voice for Kemi, for David, for Ovi. She told me, and I don't think she's going to be mad about me saying this, and I know some people might not like it, but if in this go round, there are people in there that she can help, if she can help further their game, that was a huge reason why she wanted to play again. It's not to say that she doesn't want to win, but I think she was looking for a personal redemption, I think, more so than a redemption of her being on the show. Mm-hmm. So I think being on the block next to David kind of just spiraled all of those feelings back of, I'm in the same spot again. I'm not speaking up. I think she feels really torn. I mean, we saw it. She had, you know, like a panic attack last night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
So, Eric, did you try to give Nicole some advice to go back and help her out with like figuring out a game plan for this season?
The advice that I told her was to be herself, to, you know, trust her gut, which I thought it was funny on the last episode where she was like, I'm trusting my gut and not using that thing, even though the little voice in the back of my head is saying you should. I'm like, Nicole, that's your gut. That one in the back of your head was the one you're supposed to listen to. Yeah, literally a gut. Yeah. But I mean, I just told her to trust her gut, because at the end of the day, I didn't want her to go in playing a game that was like what I told her I would do, because I feel like that's not what fans love, number one. Number two, I know me. I wouldn't have been able to live with the guilt of, Eric, I did it your way,
yes,
and I'm out. Yes. Like, that would have killed me. So I just went with, trust your gut, you know, and you're a loyal person. So focus on that. But I think she is just, she's too good of a person in real life, I think, for the game. Not to say that people that play the game aren't good people. I just mean, it's very hard for her to be assertive, to force herself into an alliance, to call somebody out. She wants to be someone that helps people, that brings people together, that makes people laugh. She's not about confrontation and stuff like that. So on an all-star season, when you're playing with like ruthless game-wise, amazing players like a Janelle, a Danny, a Memphis, I'm proud of her for trying her best.
Eric, so my question for you is, you know, as this is a rare question for me to get to ask someone. So this is someone who's your friend, your co-host.
Right.
So you're watching this kind of like family pretty much from the sidelines. Mm-hmm. How, and you cover the show like on that you've been for so many years. What's it like when like you see feedback from the audience and what they're thinking and their live thoughts, negative or positive? How do you feel like, how do you receive it? How do you feel like you respond to it? Like, what's the inner turmoil there?
I feel like I thought I was really well prepared after going through OTT with Jason. And I mean, Jason and I were just kind of like friends when he did OTT. I mean, Nicole and I were together 24/7 for like months and months and months. But, It's hard to watch it. And I think if it's hard for me, I can't imagine what it's like for her family. I think a lot of people wanted me to be objective, and I just kind of leaned in and went, I'm not going to be able to. So here's what I can do. I can try and offer you a different perspective of what I think Nicole's thinking. But when it comes to her, I'm admitting it. I don't think I'm going to be that objective. I try not to defend her moves. I try not to speak for her, defend her as a person. I love the positive things that are being said about her. And when I see the stuff that is not great, I try not to defend it. It's hard sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm just trying my best.
Well, I can relate. It's hard to do. And I've had this much more with Survivor than I have with Big Brother over the years, right, where Stephen Fishback goes back and plays, or Tyson goes back and plays. And, you know, I found that it is really hard to, because I my goal is to be objective, but what ends up happening is that then you're objective and the person that goes back and plays is like, hey, well, why didn't you have my back? Like they're like, you know, almost that there are feelings that can be hurt if you, you know, are trying to, you know, kind of call it down the middle.
I mean, here's the great thing about Nicole, and because I think she does what we do, I don't think that anything that I say objectively or critically about her game, she's going to take personal. Mm-hmm. Our relationship kind of started the first time she was on that camera, where I was like, this girl's crazy. And it figures that someone from Long Island,
yes,
is locking her parents in the basement and drowning them. So that was like Nicole's first introduction to me. It's not like started out like she's a precious unicorn. She, yes, gets my sense of humor. So,
okay, Eric, were you surprised, yes, how much you have been talked about in the Big Brother house?
Yes. I yes, 100%. So by Nicole Frenzel, who, you know, here's what I have to say, and this will probably shock a ton of people.
You love Nicole Frenzel.
I mean, I'm not going that far,
okay,
but I definitely have learned, and I've learned this before this season over the years, like things that I say that I have thought are funny or a joke or something, that of course people are going to take those to heart. And I do apologize for them. But now I realize, like, God, when you were a family member or a friend watching that person and you hear people say stuff, I don't want to be a person who causes that for anyone anymore. But yet we still do comedic recaps. So it's like a hard balance for me. But yeah, about them specifically, and Eric, talking about
I often have heard you make a joke followed immediately by,
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a joke, Rob. Rob, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I wonder if it was strategy on their part. It seemed interesting that the second the feeds came on, they were talking about the podcast, Nicole Frenzel and Danny. It's not really the way it 100%. Yes. Nicole Frenzel did not open that podcast, but Danny and Nicole talked a long time. And ultimately, you know what it's like. She never wants to do a podcast. So there was like no ill will, no hard feelings.
For my own experience with Danny Donato, and I've met Danny a bunch of times, had a great time, you know, hanging out in person. We have a mutual friend in Eric Stein, and she said, like, I don't do podcasts. You know, I want to come back and I want to play again, and I don't want to, you know, like talk about somebody's game, because Big Brother players be petty, and I don't want to talk bad about somebody and have it come back to hurt me. So I don't do podcasts.
Right. 100%. Like, I think a lot of people were trying to twist it into like a, we hate Danny, she's attacking Nicole. And I was like, guys, it's probably just they were on the show and they have a non-disclosure agreement. They can't, you know, they probably were trying to protect themselves. It didn't seem as deep as people were making it. I think obviously that caused her to talk a lot about me or defend me in the house, as it will. And then, of course, Nicole doing shout outs. But I think she just kind of throws me in with her family. And then obviously she's going to throw in our shows because that's what she's doing. It is annoying to me, too. There really was a part where I thought I could end this for everyone. Like, I asked people on my shows, it was like, I can pull my release and then you won't have to hear it anymore. But then you might also not get to hear what she's saying before it or after it.
So you had to sign a release so that they could talk about you.
But yeah, I think everybody knows that, that if you are talked about on the feeds, you're agreeing to be talked about. Mm-hmm. You're agreeing to be. And I mean, it's not like they were like, hey, we really want them to talk about you. It's we know you're Nicole's podcast host. So obviously, if you come up, is it OK if we air what they're saying? But yeah, I mean, the world before this was COVID. So Nicole and I just got sheltered and locked in to doing shows all the time. So almost her life from January till right when she went in was us doing shows. She doesn't really, I think, have a lot of other stuff to talk about that's current in her life. So I think that's why mentions me a lot, I guess.
Okay.
So if that makes sense.
And do you have any issue with Nicole Franzl?
I don't. I feel bad. Like, look, I have already said, like, I take responsibility. When she was on that show, I felt like she was not team, you know, women. I always want the women in Big Brother to go far.
Eric, you know how many bridesmaids she has?
I know. Well, 8.
9. 9.
9 now. Sorry, 9.
9 bridesmaids. Okay.
Might be 8 when she gets off the show.
Okay.
Right, exactly. I wish she would let me plan a great wedding. Anyway, no.
You would
plan
Nicole and Victor's wedding?
Look, again, and I know people are like, oh my God, this is so crazy that you're saying this. I really have seen it from a different perspective watching Nicole play. It's hard for me to watch people that
Nicole A or Nicole F?
Nicole A, mm-hmm. But specifically, like, you know, Devon. Let's say Devon is having a conversation saying she's not going to vote for Nicole. Nicole Anthony. And it's kind of like, that sucks to hear. Or if they are making jokes about, you know, Nicole Anthony and, oh, we can use this to get her to do this. Aha, that'd be so funny. It's really made me kind of realize that, like, it's not worth it to say something publicly to hurt someone or their family or whatever. I mean, again, I also make that sound like I said horrible things about her. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. So when I hear her be like, you tweeted bad about me for 4 years. No, I didn't. Go look at my Twitter. So I said you were amazing on Amazing Race, like all things like that. So I don't know. I think this is just it's Nicole Franzl's personality. And I don't know. I don't know how to help it. But for what it's, I'll say it again. I've said it everywhere. No issue with her. It's like 4 years ago. I apologize. Yeah. She didn't want to hear it.
And did you give Nicole Anthony any instructions to take down Nicole Franzl this season?
100%. I said, put bleach in her shampoo, kick her off a high balcony, if that's enough. No. Okay. No, look, I told her when she wanted Nicole Franzl to do the podcast, I said, look, she's not going to do it with me. She doesn't really care for me. So be aware of that. But that was really it. Nicole Anthony knows that Nicole doesn't care for me. But we didn't really talk about it that much. I'm not someone to be like, Nicole, 4 years ago, I tweeted things and she didn't like it. So you like wasn't even on my radar.
That Nicole Franzl has a binder that she puts things
apparently.
In.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. I mean, it's all logged. She does not forgive. She does not forget. No, I'm sorry. I mean, Nicole Anthony in that house said the greatest thing before Nicole Franzl went off on that. He's been so mean to me. And Nicole Anthony said, Eric tells me all the time, like being angry or having hatred towards people is like drinking poison and expecting them to die. Like, that's not how I live my life. Like, I don't hate people or harbor things or try and bring people down. It's just, that's not how I roll. So it's sad that she thinks that, and I don't know how to change that for her. Hopefully postseason, maybe something will happen. I can only hope.
Do you think that we will have the Nicole Franzl postseason podcast with you and Nicole A?
I would love it. I think it would be fun. Do I think it'll happen? If we're basing it on history, Rob, probably not. But okay, we'll see. Would I be here? No.
We'll see.
I probably don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the state of the campaign. Pooya, do we have breaking news happening at the moment?
I don't know about how breaking it is. It is a little bit of a disheartening, if anything. Basically, the theme of the week has been Janelle likes Nicole A. Nicole A doesn't see that. And Nicole A doesn't believe that. So now we're getting
well, hold on, Janelle's... hold on. Eric, did you ever invite Janelle on the podcast?
We did.
And what happened?
And they loved each other.
Okay.
They hit it off. They had an amazing time. So, well, go ahead. I'm going to let you, you guys finish. What's going on?
Basically, Janelle would like to save Nicole. But Nicole is not seeing that. And then, you know, everyone's talking about how they're not really going to be putting their necks out for this vote. So it's looking like it's a dire situation for Nicole at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like it's been a dire situation from the start of the game. I feel like she's had a lot going against her. It's unfortunate. I think Nicole, and I know that I love Janelle. I love Kacer. Like, honestly, Janelle, Devon, those are my picks to win, obviously, after Nicole. It sucks to see it. I think I know the way Nicole's brain works. So I think that she had that great conversation with them night one, night two. And then when Janelle kind of backed off a little bit and Nicole tried to talk to her and Janelle brushed her off, I think that played to all of Nicole's insecurities. Like, here I am, I'm playing with Janelle. Like, it's this, you know, icon in the game, strategic, beautiful, amazing. She was working with me. And now I just went to talk to her and she was like, no, I'm too busy for this right now. I think that played to Nicole's insecurities and made her start to not trust Janelle. And then we saw like Janelle doing her makeup, but the whole time people are telling her like she's playing you, this is manipulative, and then Kevin filling Nicole's head with all of the crazy paranoia theories he has. And unfortunately, I am sure that Nicole looks at Kevin like a me, and consciously or subconsciously, I think she puts more weight on the things that he says. So, I think the hardest thing for Nicole when she comes out is finding out how hard the people that she is going against really were on her side, and people who she would have been ride or die for were like selling her out left and right. I think that's what she's going to have the hardest time with when she gets out.
Eric, have you considered getting a banner plane to fly over the house and say, Nicole A, trust Janelle and Kacer?
No, because I don't think that she would believe it.
Secret? Do you have? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. But here's the thing, Rob. I mean, obviously this is talk.
That we would
use, a safe word, yes.
Yeah, that you would use. Yes, she would know it was from you.
Right. Yes. But she didn't want to pregame. She didn't want to cheat. She said if she played this game and she made it to the end, it wouldn't feel like a win if she pre-gamed. And clearly now on the feeds we see, I think that might have been a big mistake. When I think that ultimately is the real reason she couldn't really get in anywhere, in my opinion.
But can you convince her, Eric? You're so knowledgeable about Big Brother. You know how this works.
I could have, Rob, and I know people don't believe me on this. I really didn't want any guilt. I wanted everything to be her decision. Like, I just wanted to support her as a friend, like, let her know I am here for you. If you want to do this, if you don't feel you're ready, I just wanted to support her. I know me, and I will carry guilt around for forever. I really didn't want to push her towards anything that I would feel like she did that because of me, and now she's in this spot. So I think that's why a lot of people are like, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? It's hard for me to watch it, but I couldn't imagine if I was like, oh God, I know she's doing that because I told her this or I told her that. So I hear what you're saying. If she was a different person, if it was, you know, an Ian who came to me or a Devon or 100%, I'd be like, all right, if these people are near, you got to attack them this way. And, you know, that's just not Nicole as a person. And I think we all know that. I think we all knew what we were getting from Nicole when we saw her in there. We weren't thinking Nicole's a comp beast, Nicole's a master strategist at this game. We knew, like, Nicole is loyal. She's going to be like the heart of things. She's going to be funny. I don't think any of us thought with her going in like, oh, this is it. She's going to like split Janelle's throat and backstab Devon. Like, none of us thought that was going to happen. I don't know why people are surprised by this.
Okay. Eric, do you have an olive branch that you want to offer to all of the stanzels out there that you want to repair the relationship?
Yes. I will help her with her wedding.
Yes. Have you reached out to Victor?
Victor has also blocked me.
Victor blocked you. Did you say something bad about Victor, or that was that he
had to? I'm sure that was residual. And I don't have either of them blocked.
Let me see.
I don't know. What's the status?
I feel like I don't see a lot of her tweets, but I don't know if I'm blocked or not. Let me look.
I am definitely blocked. She told everyone I blocked her. I did not block her.
I'm good, Eric.
Oh, you're good. You got it. You're doing better than me.
Evil
Rob.
Dick.
You're doing...
I'm blocked. Evil Dick has me blocked, but yeah.
I mean, do who?
Yeah. Okay. Look at me.
Right.
Look at you, Rob.
We're really doing it. Yeah. I always judge us by the people that don't like us, Rob.
Okay.
That's what I say.
But no, that would be a nice gesture if you could help out with planning the wedding for Nicole and Victor. That would be very nice.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. What? I would love it.
Yes. And then maybe Nicole and Victor will have you as a guest on their podcast.
We can only hope. I love that. Again, I'm sure because she has me blocked, she doesn't see the things I say about her. But I was like, congratulations, you two are great. You did great on The Amazing Race. I'm happy for your engagement. I guess she's not seeing them because she blocked me. And I guess Victor blocked me when they got together because I was never blocked before. So,
all right. Do you have any other questions for Eric?
Yes.
Just a couple hypotheticals.
Sure.
So I'll give you a scenario, right? So let's say Nicole calls you up one day or just says, hey, Eric, I can't do a podcast and I'm not really feeling it. And you have to pick someone exclusively from the house right now. Who would you call on to come co-host an episode with you? Who's your number one pick off the board?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Danielle Donato for the same reasons of it's next to impossible to get Danielle Donato.
Well, maybe she'll be retired after this. Maybe she'll do the circuit.
Well, Rob, I mean, I'm sure we both do. That exit interview, I hope it doesn't happen until, you know, late. Hope she wins. I'm just going to be like, oh, look, Danielle Donato, you're doing a podcast with me.
Yeah. Okay.
We got you here. It's happening.
It's your worst nightmare. You're on podcast.
It's your worst nightmare. You're here.
Yes.
But yeah, no, Danielle Donato, I would love to do a show with. Danielle Donato would be my answer.
Okay. All right. Eric, this was great to get to catch up. Well, everybody
say
their rosary for Nicole through Thursday. But where can people check you out in the meantime?
All of my stuff is in all of our shows, all of our content is over in the TV Co app. Or you can follow me on social media. I am at Reality Recaps everywhere.
And how much footage do you have in the can already with stuff that you've pre-recorded with Nicole?
I didn't want to talk about it, Rob.
So much stuff.
So depressing.
You've so much
stuff. We spent 2 months doing that. We spent 2 months preparing, you know, content for the covering for her, for vlogs, for special stuff to kind of last the whole season. And it's, yeah, a lot, Rob, a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, hang in there. Look, you never know how this week is going to turn out. It's a crazy game.
I know.
Okay.
We can do it. I believe in her, and we will see what happens. Either way, I know she will be okay. Now, a lot of people are worried about her mental health, this, that. Her family has it under control. I know she's a strong person. I know she's going to be okay.
Eric, this was very fun. I think you've been able to put out a lot of the fires with people that think you have an axe to grind against. Anybody in the house,
sorry,
not the case.
I only don't like South Florida this week. Memphis,
South Florida. Sorry. Okay, got it. Well, it's like an Arbor Day. Got it. All right. Right, Eric, right. Thank you so much, okay?
All right, thanks, Rob. We'll see you guys later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. What a jam-packed show, Puya.
It's been fun. We're learning a lot of things today. I feel like I'm thinking about things that I hadn't thought about. What did I learn? Let me see. So I learned that Eric has access to get you footage from... He got you cameos today. I feel like that was pretty cool. You got a cameo exclusive to just you. Mm-hmm. That was really cool to get.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I learned that Danny is the ultimate get for any podcaster now. I feel like that's the ultimate dream. Yeah. And then obviously we got more of a understanding of what Rachel is doing in the space. So it's been educational, and we deep dove into Enzo's deepest desire. So that's also cool to know.
By the way, Puya, I know you checked out Enzo's Dwight, aka Dwight Squall's rap tracks over the weekend, as featured on the RJP B&B. I know that you are an aficionado, an expert in the hip hop. What was your review of? What was your Yelp rating for Enzo's album?
Yeah, so Mike plays all these snippets and then isn't giving us the exclusive, right? So then yesterday on the recap, he like lightly mentioned how to get it. So I went, I was like, you know what? The website seems dodgy, but it's a mission that I need to do. I Googled, I listened to it. And you know me, Rob. I am very against House Guest rapping. When House Guest and BB Canada did it, didn't like. When House Guest and BB US did it, I don't like it. It comes off not great. Not a fan.
Stop rapping.
That being said, Dwight Squall got bars, okay? I don't like the lyrics necessarily, but the bars are hitting for
Explicit
me.
Explicit lyrics from Dwight Squall.
Yeah, the name I don't like, because I immediately think of Dwight Schrute. So I'm picturing a Dwight Schrute-like character giving me all
You've
the
got
hip-hop.
Different beats, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different beat. It's a different form. It's a whole different situation. So the name needs to be redone. The content is a little bit too heavy, especially when I know who the Meow Meow is. I can't take it seriously. It's a work of fiction. But yeah, I mean, it got some flow. Got some flow to him.
I like that. Well, maybe that somebody could now auto-tune. Let me give the internet an assignment. If they could auto-tune the lyrics to...
Did you say
quarantine and... I've been in quarantine.
This has been my life this year. I've been in quarantine, sequester, and out of Big Brother house. Yo, I'm horny as...
All right. Let's bring in a man who is a lyrical master himself. He was such a big hit on the show last week from the WWE's own Ryan Popola. And here he is. He's back. Ryan, how are you?
Bobby, Puya, big fan. Been enjoying your work. Good to see you guys.
Okay. Tell us about this shirt you have here.
Well, it's going to be a nice memento in a week or two. I got to tell you, it's like just up front. I was feeling jovial a few hours ago. I am not feeling jovial at the moment due to recent events on the feeds. So
feed update?
Yeah, I don't know how in depth we can get.
Go for it. What do you need to say?
Janelle Pierzina is crying.
Janelle's crying.
Janelle, Puya, you probably know better than me. I think that's only the second time in Big Brother history that Janelle Pierzina is crying. And it's for no one who deserves it. If Danielle Donato ever says she'd come on your podcast, Rob, decline. I'm upset with everybody.
Wait, Danny Donato made Janelle cry?
Danielle Donato is literally, I have a list that we'll probably get to here at some point. She's literally on it. I said last week that I thought these people were all generally nice. I rescind that statement. I think most of these people are horrid. Okay. I'm just a little upset at the moment.
All right.
I got to be honest.
Of course, you can catch Ryan every week on The Bump talking about all things WWE, but his true passion is talking about the Sovereigns, Janelle and Kacer, and that you put together a list for us today. Could you tell us what you prepared for the show?
Jericho.
I have a lot of things. I have a lot of notes, but on this list of notes is the Janelle-C power rankings.
The Janelle-C power rankings. So we'll get to that. We don't have to rush into that. I just wanted to set the stage of Janelle-C.
It's a lot of notes.
Power rankings coming up. Okay. Outside of the current state of events, what have you thought about week two and the Memphis reign in the Big Brother house?
So I'm, Puya, just in case you don't know, I haven't watched Big Brother since season 14. So that's an 8-year gap. So I can't speak to the modern day goings on. However, my hunch is that this is not how you HOH, whether it's 2007 or 2020.
No.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. There's no date on a bad reign. This is just a bad reign.
Memphis seems like, as HOH, seems like a boss who's like getting ready to fire someone and is really irritated with the person who comes in before the person he has to fire. Like, it's just like it's a conversation that he doesn't want to be having. I selfishly, Bob, like, if you told me last Monday that Janelle and Kacer would not win HOH, would not win veto, and would not be on the block after the veto ceremony, I thought I would have been thrilled. However, I stand here less than thrilled. But yeah, I would say that Memphis was a miss. I think that's, probably the popular opinion.
Okay. A lot of people are asking about where you got your shirt from. You talked about it last week of where you got the shirt.
Yeah, and for those on the pod listening, it's Janelle Kacer 2020. I've seen the design all over the place. Like, if you just type in Janelle Kacer on Google and go to shopping as an option, you will see this from a bunch of places. I found this one in particular on Etsy because I trusted Etsy more than others. That Etsy shop is now closed. I got this just in the nick of time.
They shut it down.
So RIP, but pour some out, but it worked out for me. I can't speak to the reputability of these other sellers, but it's really cool. And, I would vote for Janelle and Kacer in many forms and fashions. Just type in their names on the Google search and you'll be good to go. Just today, Rob, actually, I got these nifty masks too. These came in early.
Janelle face mask.
Team Janelle mask and a Team Kacer mask. And so those just came in today. I should have done an unboxing, but then Janelle started crying and I got a little frazzled.
Yes,
not frantic.
Frazzled, yeah. it's a similar meaning. So could you tell us the Janelle Kacer 2020 platform?
From my point of view, it
should
be...
What do they stand for?
I can't necessarily... I mean, honesty, integrity in the American way. However, they would not be able to give any speeches because those speeches would then be blatantly and aggressively manipulated to other people saying things that they did not say. It's really just been a miserable week. I've still enjoyed myself, but it's not been fun.
Okay. Let me play a clip for you. Janelle and Kacer were chatting earlier this week, talking about the situation in the house, and they talked about some frustration on the way that the other players are playing. Here's Janelle and Kacer talking.
He wants to play for his...
Talking about Memphis.
It's parents versus vegans.
Yeah, it's parents versus vegans.
Very quickly, Kacer throws it out that basically it's parents versus vegans. And Janelle is not like, what? It's like, yes, parents versus vegans. It's like totally, like they're so in sync. Like that is not an insane idea to Janelle.
Yeah.
Parents versus vegans.
I do love Get Off My Lawn, Jacer. It's one of my favorite parts of one of the few bright spots of the last week is that they're just crotchety, rightfully so, crotchety old people who hate all the young whippersnappers.
Yes. Ryan, which team would you identify with more, parents or vegans?
Probably parent, right? You have to be disqualified from team vegan if you eat meat. No, wouldn't that be the prerequisite?
But you don't have children.
No. I do not. But I have 4,000 Twitter followers who depend on me. Mm-hmm. So it's one and the same.
So in a way, that you are their dad.
Yeah, it's in a roundabout sense.
So people should follow you on Twitter and then say...
At Bodie and Ryan. Sure, that wasn't even a cheap plug. Also, I also relate to any team that Janelle and Kacer are on. So I think that would, so wherever they, you know, fit is where I fit.
Puya, what do you see yourself as, more of a vegan or a parent?
I would say parent, and it's for two reasons, Rob. Dad jokes, dad bod, full package right here, ready to go. So that's the squad I'm repping.
I like that.
Yeah.
Could you be both? Could you be a vegan and a parent?
I'm sure several are.
Yeah. Then you got to decide where you fit. It's kind of like, you know, the next big themed season should be parents versus vegans. And then there's people who are like struggling with the identity of which side am I really on, you know?
Yeah. Somewhere Jeff Probst is like, wait, what was that? Parents versus vegans? Like, let me get like,
got to find a third one and you're there.
Yeah, where's my notes app here? Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Janelle-y power rankings. So what is number one is the person that is the
most Janelle-ous.
The most Janelle-ous. Can you define Janelle-y for the listeners?
Sure. And Puya, please, both of you, please tell me if I'm off the mark with this, if my bias is showing too much. I would say that it is someone for less than just or accurate reasons has problems with what Janelle and by proxy in this situation, Kacer, are doing in the house. I want to make this very clear. I have no problem with people targeting specifically Janelle because of her pedigree in Big Brother, her acumen for the game, the fact that she's got all these records, this, that, and the third. What I am picking up on, and this is not to say, I also have a section on here that tells you what they've been doing wrong the last week. But from what I am picking up on, these people, by and large, with the exception of just a small handful, just don't like Janelle because those of us in the real world like Janelle. That is by and large what I have picked up on this week. And if I'm wrong, I'm happy to have that debate and it would be respectful. But that is how I see it. So these people are the people most egregious of disliking her just because.
How deep do the power rankings go?
I had it at 5 before I finished lifting earlier. Then I added an honorable mention because somebody ticked me off.
A literal and metaphoric flex.
Yeah, you better believe it, Bubba. Yeah, so we have 5 and an honorable mention, and it probably should just be 6 because I'm trying to be nice to this one person who's so the honorable
sovereign
mention.
Sovereign 6. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, maybe that's
unsovereign
the number going,
6.
That's the number going forward. Actually, yeah, we can put up the animation. That's what we can call the seg. Yes.
Okay. Ryan Popola brings you the unsovereign 6. Okay. Here we go.
All right. Honorable mention is Nicole Anthony.
As of
yesterday evening, she was number 5. Then I felt very bad for her last night, so I took her off. And then all heck has broken loose in the last couple hours, so she's back on. And all I'm going to say about Nicole Anthony, and again, please tell me if I'm wrong, is that if you're this impressionable by the words of Kevin Campbell, then I have to believe you're not very good at Big Brother. Like, and I can't speak to her last run. I know she was very popular. I did watch literally 2 or 3 episodes last season and thought she seemed very nice. And I'm sure she is nice. I have no doubt that she's a nice, good person. But, you know, I understand being bummed out, but to drag Janelle and Kacer's name through the mud, when in reality, all they're doing is putting themselves at a greater disadvantage because of you and trying to help you. You're not going to get a free pass from the Rye guy. You're just not.
Okay, Puya, too high or too low for Nicole Anthony on the Janelle?
Honorable mention, Puya.
I think honorable mention is a fair spot because I think ultimately it's just it's a sad situation that she's completely misread the Janelle connection. She's completely following what Kevin is saying. I think ultimately she thinks of Janelle as someone of this stature up here, and she's down here with Kevin in the same level. So she's more likely to believe a Kevin, to listen to a Kevin. So I think it's fair to put her there because I do think that had she got the right reads, she wouldn't be having any of the Janelle-y.
And Puya, let me ask you real quick, because obviously I am biased, but by and large, am I reading this correctly? They haven't been perfect this last week, Janie and Kacer, but by and large, do you think that my sentiments in terms of how they're being treated is pretty much on the mark?
What exactly is the feeling you're having here? Just
that they really can't talk to anybody, that everything they do is vilified instantly for no real good reason. And some of that can be chalked up to gameplay, right? And I get that. And I watched the show for a long time. I'm not that out of the loop. But like a lot of this just seems very, very petty and not necessary, especially when they're Janelle and Kacer. They're going to be the biggest targets regardless.
Yeah, whether they do everything right or they do everything wrong, they're going to be seen as they can't do anything right and they're going to be vilified. That's just the position they're in the house. They come in as the biggest names. They come in as the biggest, like, legends, quote unquote. So doesn't matter. So I full on, I'm with you, even though I've been on the record as the biggest Kacer fan potentially out there. So I feel you on that, but I don't think you're just saying some of this just to say some of this. I think there's there's rights in what you're saying.
Okay.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel good.
Is Nicole Anthony too high on the power rankings?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to number five.
Number five. I do not have a rant on number five. I will just say that it is Christmas Abbott, who is playing, I will say, is playing the game well. I actually, right now, I'd say my power rankings in terms of who I think could win Big Brother All-Stars 2 is Enzo and Christmas Abbott. Those right now would be my two front runner. She seems in with everyone. No one's bringing her name up. She won one competition, and she thinks she's Janelle and Boston Rob fused together like it's Dragon Ball Z. Neither here nor there. She is clearly just, she wants Janelle out for the right reasons, but there's all, she gets in these conversations with Danny Donato, and it's all of a sudden, it's ba 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 ba. I don't like it. But playing the game well, she deserves her spot on the list, but I have no bad words to say about her other than that I think she's a big jerk right now.
Okay. All right. Christmas, a real jerk. Ba da ba ba ba. You're not loving it. Okay.
No.
All right. Number four.
Okay. All right. Number four. If we had done this last week, which we did not, but unofficially last week, this person was number one on last week's unofficial Janelle C rankings. That, again, there's no record of this, but I'm just telling you it's how it would have landed. And that is Nicole Franzel, number four. Would have been number one, mainly just because so many other people have skyrocketed up the list.
People have passed her, because this is going to be a major spoiler for people that Nicole Franzel is not number one.
This is the very shocking for me, Ryan. I'm looking forward to seeing what the rest of this list looks like, what the podium looks like, because to me, I feel like, so have you heard that she has all these bridesmaids, and that's why you're like, nah, it makes sense.
Yeah, what was that earlier? Like, Janelle got married too. I'm sure she had at least four.
That the Nicole and Victor have not had the wedding yet. That why I was asking earlier in the show.
Yeah.
That did Janelle come to the wedding? I think she was got invited, but then I think she might be uninvited.
Don't go, Janelle. Janelle's ripping up that invitation next week when she's out of the house. Basically Nicole Franzel will always be on this list, but like her Janelle hate is just such a steady line that it allows for people to spike and move past her.
Okay. Plateaued.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So number three.
Number three is Cody Califiare.
Yeah,
he is terrified of Janelle Pierzina and is intimidated by Kay Sarita, and I don't appreciate it. It seems as though he, in many ways, is just leeching on to what others say about them. Because I really think, and Puya, please tell me again, as you watch the feeds more than I do, I think Kaser specifically has really tried with Cody. Like, has really tried, and it might be the type of thing where they'll never trust each other or never fully, like, you know, but like Kaser, it's been probably 10% game and 90% just trying to get to know him. And so when name calling starts and also, can I just say, Bob, like, Kaser Ritta is being treated this season as though his like lifetime average is that of like Andrea Belkey, when in all reality, it's like much closer to Francesca. Like, I mean, like, it's like, I hate to say it, and Puya, you understand where it's
going. We're on the same page. So far, we're on the same page.
It's like, Kaser Ritta, as much as this breaks my heart, might not be very good at Big Brother. I've kept this statement at arm's length for my entire adult life, but he just might not be very good at it. So why for the third time this is going to be his fate is baffling. I think Cody is the embodiment and the portrait of that mentality, which at this point just doesn't make sense. Kaser is... all these notions of Kaser and Janelle not being loyal. Kaser's claim to fame is being too good to his enemies. He's so loyal that he makes sweetheart deals with the people he's actively trying to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And so Cody is number three for those reasons and more, but this is we only have 53 minutes left in this telecast.
Okay.
So I will keep, that's right. Where that went.
Okay. All right. Cody Califiore,
number three. I'm sorry.
All right, so people must be wondering, who is two and who is one?
Yeah. Kevin Campbell is number two Kevin Campbell is number two on this list. There's that old saying, Bob, you either die Anita Vito or you live long enough to see yourself become part of the nerd herd, you know? And that's what Kevin Campbell has done this week. I don't get it. Janelle and Kaser were not campaigning against Kevin Campbell. Puya, again, please tell me. I don't remember them last week last week. That's an important distinction, saying much negative about Kevin, other than maybe a stray. He's not very good at the game. And you know what? That's honest, and we should respect honesty. Like, you know, is that by and large accurate?
No, was doing a little bit of, you know, okay, like,
fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that this is like a little bit of a back and forth, that she does not love the Kevin.
Fair enough.
They've earned one another at this point.
That's fair. A little bit more mutual. And that's probably where my bias shows, and that is totally understandable. With that said, and they have been heavy on the insult, including Kacer, who's like the world's nicest person. So I think that shows you something about how Kevin Campbell has been operating this game when Kacer is saying negative things about you. Kevin Campbell is without question the reason that Nicole Anthony was crying last night, is without question in a roundabout way, which just makes me sick. It's why Janelle was crying today, because he is the one planting these seeds, by and large, unprompted in Nicole Anthony's head. Also, just on a general level, his reads are terrible. Kevin Campbell's reading comprehension is worse than my 3-year-old nephew's when it comes to Big Brother. Yeah. It's just very frustrating. It's just very, very frustrating.
All right. So I think I know who number one is going to be.
I have a feeling I do too.
Danielle Donato is number one on this week's Genelacy rankings. Now, I have a few things I want to say here. I'll try to get through them quickly. The first thing is, have you guys seen this Entertainment Tonight clip of Danielle Donato saying that she wants to be the queen of Big Brother?
No.
Have you seen that?
No.
So I don't know if it's from the preseason when they were in quarantine or if it's from a few years ago. She does not mention Janelle's name, and I should have saved the clip, and I apologize. But especially if this was from recent weeks, a few weeks ago when they were getting ready to come in the house. I think that this is just such a backwards philosophy, especially when all Janelle, and Puya, fact check me again, please, when all Janelle has said is that she will never vote Danielle out. She was never going to target her. And it seems like, by and large, she really wanted to work with her. Is that by and large accurate?
Yeah. They've talked about it. Janelle talked about it this past couple of days. They have an agreement that goes beyond inside this game, from outside the game, that they're not going to go against each other. And for the most part, Janelle has shown to be like she's going to honor it. Whereas Danny may have been playing a little fast and loose with that honoring and kind of doing her own.
Yeah, come on. Like, she's not, like, you know, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. The other comparison I want to draw is ironically with Danielle Reyes from Big Brother 7, who I don't want to say was obsessed with Janelle, because I have great respect for the great Danielle Reyes. However, from what I recall, and I'm currently watching All Stars 1 right now, so I may be off on this, but I remember by around, Danielle Reyes goes around, what, week 7 or 8? She literally, I believe, goes in like to 24-hour solitary confinement for a day and comes out and, like, basically, I'm not exaggerating, kind of lost her mind for a day or so at the idea of trying to get Janelle out and failing. Danielle Reyes, I think, without question, across the board, one of the greatest Big Brothers players to ever play the game. And I think her game would have only been helped in Big Brother All-Stars by working with Janelle to a certain point and jury, and then, you know, at a certain point, like, obviously get rid of Janelle. I don't understand what Danielle Donato is doing here by working overtime and getting in about 15 different alliances and, you know, just running Janelle's name through the mud to everybody she can when this house has such loose lips. It seems like Danielle Donato, I'll be honest, probably will succeed in getting Janelle out of this house in the next week or two, but I think it's going to sink her game by week 6 or 7. The effort that you have to put in to get Janelle out, unless it's a season 14 situation when just everybody wants her out and she doesn't have an opportunity to save herself, seems not worth it, when in reality they're going to get rid of Janelle eventually because she's Janelle. And she's just been super mean. So number one is Danielle Donato.
Okay. All right. I want to thank one of our great listeners, Marietta, who has tracked down the clip. Here is Danny Donato from the preseason talking about wanting to be the queen.
My goal is to go in there and win. I think that when it's not All-Stars, a lot of people want to make it to jury or do this and that. Like, I want to freaking win that show. I want to be the winner of All-Stars. Like, I want to dethrone the BB queen and be known as the BB queen, you know, like, that's what I want. I want people to recognize my game and see me as the best female player that's ever played the game.
All right. Powerful words. I love that. Yes. You are manifesting that.
Yes.
Who's the interviewer here?
Powerful words. Yeah, me.
I don't know.
Some, Lauren, I'm sure, Zima.
She does a good job.
Zima.
Shout out to Lauren Bauman, who also has a Janelle Kacer 2020 shirt. Yeah. But Who else is she talking about, right? Like, that seems, and great, again, listen, your goal, it just seems like a stupid goal. Your goal can be to come into Big Brother All-Stars 2 and want to vote out Janelle. It just seems like that's very nearsighted and a waste of your energy.
Big game
your
hunting. Goal, people like to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like this last while now, she has been, because, you know, I want to go back quickly, Ryan, to the point you made about the fact that Kacer's resume, people keep thinking, is something of more of a great stature of, oh, literally he's in the end every time he's there, when in factuality, he's usually not even in the house long enough to be in the jury ever. Yeah. I think that she's the one person that's clocked it of, listen, they've played together every time. Every time he gets clipped, she's at the end. So she's using that as an excuse to maybe push her agenda with Janelle further. I don't think she's incorrect in kind of looking at it that way, especially based on the fact that literally Kacer can't do anything for anyone to be like, Kacer, that Kacer knows what he's doing, or that Kacer's with me. It's more like, Kacer's a nobody, let's look at Janelle right now. So I do see what she's doing. Do I think that it benefits her? Of course not. I think it's putting her more on radars now than ever. Yeah. And it's getting a little bit dangerous. So we'll see what happens.
I agree. And that's the last thing I'll say on that is, I know Danielle Donato is a competent Big Brother player. I just think she's doing way too much and playing way too messy right now. And is just also being a jerk.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in a guest who wants to talk to Ryan Popola. Here is one of our newcomers from the class of 2020. Mari is here. Mari, how are you?
Hey, everybody.
How's it going, Mari? You were wearing a Sasha Bailey shirt the other day.
Yes, and look who I got on today.
Oh, shout out to Naomi. Wow, this is very exciting. Welcome aboard. Hi.
Yes, hi. I'm so glad I have to bow down to the king of the Sasha crew. Stop it. I'm so glad to come on and talk to you. I loved you on last week, but mostly for everybody, Rob, Puya, Ryan, the chat. I was laughing at Taryn's update this morning about all the alliances, and I thought we could play a name that alliance game, because it seems like the house guests are having a little bit of trouble naming all of their alliances, keeping up with their alliances. So I wanted to see if maybe we could help them out.
Okay, this is so fun. Okay,
so you are
going to give us the people and we're going to give you the name, or what, vice versa?
Yes, I can give you the people. I have the people written down. And I want to hear everybody's what they think we could give them for an alliance.
Okay, now we are coming up with new names, or we're guessing what they are already calling themselves?
New names. Who cares what they call themselves?
I love it. Because, yeah, we have several masters of branding here between Puya and Ryan. So,
yes, I am a simple idiot.
Okay.
Okay, so of course we got to start with the big one, the messiest of the messiest. We're going to go with the alliance that Memphis came together with. So Memphis, Christmas, Cody, Tyler, Danny, and Franzel. They've been throwing around a couple things, 6 degrees, the usual suspects, which honestly, looking at the people, that's about right. The usual suspects.
Yes. Memphis but, is the Kevin Spacey.
He wishes.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Not a fan.
Okay. So it's Memphis, Christmas, Cody, Danny, Franzel, and Tyler.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You got 6 people. But I don't like to do a number.
Hate the numbers. Yeah.
Should we remove numbers from our ideas here?
It's up to you, but I
well, like it's not ideal. It's not ideal. Okay. All right.
The crayon club in the chat, I see.
But Enzo's not in this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ryan.
The know-nothings.
All right. I know there's not too many, you know, usually when there's a 6-person tag, it's usually 3 and 3. So this is more of a Survivor Series team.
Yeah, even a little big for that. But for the purposes of this, that would work. I'm just looking through. While we've been setting this up, I Googled team names,
and
I'm just
gonna predictable.
I'm just gonna pick. That's good. I like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. The chat is killing me right now. I'm sorry. Y'all are killing it right now in the chat.
How about like not nice people?
There you go. Simple, straightforward.
They're gonna call themselves the not nice people.
Yeah, that's what I would call him, Bobby.
Yeah. I got a few people on the Janelle-y power rankings there also. Like, that's 4 out of the 6 that made the list. Quite. Yeah. Could they be
I'm
the Janelle-is?
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
What did I say?
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. Tyler said six levels earlier.
Even I knew that was a bad name because of the other people from the deal. Like, it's like, and I haven't watched Big Brother in 8 years. Like, I even got that. That was these people.
That's like when you try and just
trolling,
like,
right?
Yeah. That's when you submitted a paper about a subject like 3 years ago, and then you took it out and like redid it, just changed some words around and submitted it again. That's what he did with that one. I feel like their whole premise for this one was, oh, they would never see it coming. We're not really talking. Go with like either the undetectables, like, because you're not going to get detected. Or you just go with the TTYL, the talk to you later.
Talk to you later. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's T-T-Y-L. Good.
Yeah. That's good stuff for you. That's good stuff for you.
I love it.
Okay. Sorry. All right. What's next, right, Mari?
Next one. Okay. So we'll go with Janelle Kacer in Memphis, which I was mad because Ryan kind of stole what I was going to call them. I was going to call them Team Get Off My Lawn.
See, that's what I'm going with.
That's my answer. Has to be.
Okay, well, we already heard them talking to themselves. It's parents versus vegans. Are they
parents versus vegans?
Pop and Mom Dukes?
The PTA.
Go on Big Brother or Survivor and come up with some good alliance names because they need your help. They are struggling.
Yeah.
What I do? This is my bread and butter, right? I'm peeking.
Okay, so let's go with the quote unquote core four. That's so boring. So let's do Cody, Danny, Franzel, and Enzo.
The Boar Four.
Yes. Come on.
Is that not a good answer?
I love that.
That's it. That's what I got. The Boar Four.
Yeah. I wrote some of them down, but not that one. Let's see. Let's see what the chat says. Yeah, Puya's killing it. PTA was great.
That's such a great answer.
They love it. The Olds. Oh my God. Y'all are the chat is crazy. Frenzo and Daddy.
Daddy.
Liv, what is going on?
Yeah, it's the Danny Cody mashup name and then the Enzo Franzel mashup name is what they're doing.
Oh, understood. My God.
Mark, don't encourage them in the chat.
I'm sorry, guys.
They get out
my
of
bad,
control.
My bad.
Yeah.
I believe it. Okay, so, all right, here's one that won't last that long. Kevin, Nicole, and David. I call them dead in the water.
Lost souls.
Kevin, Nicole, and David. They were there.
How's this one?
Yes.
The pre-jury.
The pre-jury?
Julia, you are very good at this game.
I'm my fault.
Why are you so good? Dang,
I have
it,
nothing
Puya.
Better to contribute. That was great.
I know. What about you, Rob? No, nothing.
No, it's hard to top that.
That's so good. Puya's killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about this one? Because they gave themselves Cody, Bay, Day, and Enzo. They call themselves Connect Four. This is not including Danny. So just the Cody, Bay, Day, and Enzo.
Cody, Enzo, Bay. And Day.
Mm-hmm. That original, the Brigade 2.0 or the second Brigade.
I feel like with Bay and Day in there, like a bidet brigade, something's got to be there that brings the bidet into this. I feel like there's something there.
Yeah. How about the
best spritz of water.
Oh. A spritz of water. I like that. I really thought that the Cody Bay Day Enzo. How about coffee and cream? How about that?
I do like that. I like that a lot.
I'm not mad at it by any stretch of the imagination.
I always wanted like a. All Girls of Alliance, like we always do. And I wanted them to call themselves the Brigade.
No, they call the Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
The Franzels in there.
Right.
I just look forward to when Enzo decides to name the coffee and cream in the individuals. And he's like, okay, all right, Cody, you're the spoon. Okay, Bailey, you're the mug. All right, Day, you're the sweetener. And me, I'm going to be the bean. That's my name. And yep. Then that's the squad he's going to run with. I want to see Enzo name individuals. I need that.
Cookies and cream. Yeah. Y'all are good. Oh my God. Okay. So I guess let's get into some. You know what? How about an alliance that half of them don't even know they're an alliance that was made last night?
Okay.
Enzo, Tyler, David, and Cody. David was told that he is already in an alliance with him when he was asking in for his vote.
Enzo, somebody Tyler, neglected to tell David, and Cody.
Yep. Four guys. A guys alliance, technically.
Yeah. You can call them the barbecue, and then when it's like, why is it the barbecue? It's because there's hella sausage in here. So there you go. Without going outright targeting that, you go with the barbecue because it's a little bit more TV friendly.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Keep it PG. Keep it PG.
Exactly.
Family show.
Yeah.
Family show.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, like we have so many duos. Oh my God. Let's start with one of Tyler's duos. Tyler and Christmas. Maybe we should call them something like Sea to Shining Sea, because all they are is a broke version of Coast to Coast. Because that's all it is. Tyler is smart enough to get Christmas, who has all of Casey's like better attributes about like being physical and winning competitions, and none of her the things that beat him. Like she has no social game, like not much respect. Game. I think this is Coast to Coast 2.0, and if Tyler takes it to the end, it's an easy win.
You have Crispin and Christmas.
Crisscross.
Especially if they keep bouncing from alliance to another, they're jump. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I can go with that.
Crisscross will make you. Yeah. Christmas vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The rebound. Oh my God, Alexa. The
How
rebound.
About canceling Christmas,
I man, love that. Oh my God. I love that. The rebound. That's good. Bay and Day. Who I think they're called, did they officially call themselves Black Girls Magic?
That made a television program, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. So they made it official. I call them the gift machines.
Gift machines. That's good.
Yeah, they're the gifts that keep on giving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know that's not how you pronounce it, but.
No, I think you're right.
I like that.
Yeah.
It works.
I enjoy it.
It works. Yeah. Oh, wow.
There's still more lines.
I got to stop paying attention. Rob, have you seen the chart? Shout out to, what was it, Big Brother? What was it, Big Brother Daily that does the alliance charting, and how it's just all just connections and red string. And we're not even, that's just the ones, that's the confirmed ones. I could go on to the fake ones, but we don't have time for that. I know we gotta go.
Most of these people are fake.
Yeah,
exactly.
Come to this okay. week.
So out of all of the alliances, all of the crazy alliances, who is everybody rooting for? What do y'all think is going to happen in the next few weeks?
I'm a big Danny Cody guy.
No,
I'm joking.
I was like, wait.
That's a joke. Yeah, I think my allegiances are clear.
Well, Ryan, talk about this. Okay, so let's paint the rosiest picture for Janelle and Kacer. Sure. Like, who could break off from one of these groups that they could end up picking up?
Bay and Day are their best chance, from everything I gather. However, even just a little while ago, I don't know if this is how Davon plays, but I think is a lovely, lovely, lovely person. That, from everything I've gathered these 2 weeks, is just a great human. But she was just talking to Danny, and I don't think she's intentionally trying to sabotage Janelle, but it's just another example where Janelle and Kacer just can't make any traction. Yeah. I think Bailey is their only true hope, but hopefully if Bailey solidifies with them...
Could you imagine J.K. Bay and Day?
Oh, my God.
Probably the best of the best.
J.K. Bay Day.
Okay. Wow.
I also think if I'm like, I guess everybody is pulling for like a Janelle Case or HOH. And if they really do what, if they really do what they say they're going to do and actually target like Cody, like I think they said they wanted to backdoor him. So I don't know who they would put up, the two people they said they were going to put up in the interim. Yeah. But if they do put up like a Cody and a Tyler and a Franzel, and they do take Cody out, it'll be really interesting to see how the game breaks open. Because I think it will. I really do. I think Cody is the glue that's holding most of them, that those alliances together. Because as we even seen, basically that main alliance, they don't even like each other. So I'm like, why are y'all even doing this? But like, they don't like each other. So take Cody out. I don't think you, Janelle and Case would get a lot of people to jump to their side. I think what we would get would be like an amalgam of the middle come in together. And then, you know, they'll let Janelle, Kaser, or whoever battle it out, maybe Danny. And then we'll get that middle group that will probably be made up of people we actually like.
From your lips to God's ears.
Right. Right. You know it.
Well, Mari, thank you for coming in and giving us the list of all the alliances. And hopefully we did some great rebranding.
Yes, that was not even close to how many. It's so confusing. Yeah. I don't blame any. Everybody has bad reads. I get it. But I mean, the way that these people are playing, how do you expect them to know what to go to do when it's so convoluted in itself? And we see everything and we see how convoluted it is. So just like try and be nice to the house guests, you know, like Taryn was saying and like you guys have been saying. Just be nice to them because it's a hard game and people are constantly lying to your face. Mm-hmm. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Okay. Everybody gets a pass, but Kevin. Yes.
Yes. Mari, I thought you were great on the live feed update with Taryn the other morning, reenacting
Thank you guys.
Bay and Day, having a conversation. So great job, Mari. Of course, you can find at Mari Talks 2, like the number, much.
Yep. Yep. All right. Bye, guys. Right. Thank you.
Bye,
Ryan.
Bye. Good to talk to you. Good to meet you.
Bye. All right. Ryan Popola, you need to run. Yeah, you got to go.
I'm good.
You're good. Okay.
By the way, I'm sorry if this has been bad radio. I'm just annoyed.
Well, who said it was bad? What are you reading?
I don't know. I know. I don't look at that.
No, stuff. They're loving it in the comments. I'll tell you that now.
I was ready like to try to be as optimistic as possible. And it's been a frustrating few. It's been a frustrating week, as much fun as I'm still having watching them, but it's just specifically been a tough few hours.
Yeah. Okay. Hang in there. Yeah. All right. We've got another call who wants to come in. Josh Mendelson is back. Let's bring Josh in. Josh, how are you?
Hi guys. How are you?
Doing great. Josh, what do you want to talk about?
A few things. Well, first, Ryan, like my goal every week is to come on and get a t-shirt. So I got one from Kat last week. I really want the Janelle Kaser t-shirt. Like, where did you get it?
Again, Etsy. But if you just do a quick Google search, Janelle Kaser, and then go to shopping on Google, it should pop up on a bunch of different places. I can't speak to the reputability of those sites.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe check Etsy again. Check the Redbubble. But like, you know, you'll find a bunch of options if you just type in their names and do a Google shopping.
It doesn't hurt to have the Honey browser extension. joinhoney.com/RHAP.
Very important. Yes, don't forget about the masks either. You know, those are on the Redbubble.
I want a mask too. I want like the whole like get a shirt, get a mask.
These are on the Redbubble. Get them before they get evicted. Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously I am Team Janelle and she is the Big Brother Queen of the Midwest, but I'm wanting to talk about the Big Brother Queen that's not in the Big Brother house, the Big Brother Queen of Vegas.
Janelle lives in Florida.
No,
she's a Minnesota girl now.
No, she's in Minnesota.
Is that right?
She's a Midwest queen. I'm a Midwest queen.
At the time of Big Brother 6, I believe.
Sure, but what about now?
She lives in Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She's a Minnesota mom real estate agent now.
Got it.
She does, yeah. So I want to talk about Rachel Riley, the other Big Brother queen who now has relevance somehow in the Big Brother house. They're talking all about Rachel.
Yes.
Yep. So with her, like I saw Janelle talking about Rachel. We got Nicole Franzel talking about her. And Rachel posted a tweet yesterday, which I loved.
Yes. You know, we talked about it on the Sunday night recap, but basically, do you want to read it?
I can totally read it. It amuses me that I'm being used as strategy and I am playing the game, but I'm sitting at home 7 months pregnant, living rent free in their hands. #BB22. That's true, BB Queen. Now on to my girls winning, Janelle and Bailey. I thought that was a little shady. So she wasn't talking about, obviously it was a dig at Nicole. So
yeah.
Is this coming from like The Amazing Race, I think, definitely, which Janelle was talking about?
Yes.
Rob, have you asked Phil about this at all?
Well, that's what we talked about last night on the podcast, of that maybe we need to ask Phil, like, hey, Phil, do you remember that whole thing from The Amazing Race 32? Like, could you give us any insight into the battle of Rachel Riley versus Nicole Franzel?
I know. It's kind of a battle that I enjoyed watching, because anytime someone goes to battle with Rachel Riley, it's just like there's fireworks. Like, and her presence, I think, is truly going to be is missed this year, mm-hmm. because I think that she would be exploding and coming after everybody.
Josh, should they have let Rachel Riley play at 7 months pregnant?
Honestly,
did the production make the wrong call here?
You know what? There are, international series of Big Brother that let people play pregnant. So why not? Their drama would be there. Maybe it would be the first Big Brother birth. Let's go.
Yeah.
Bob, the thing that I heard was that Rachel would play the game of Big Brother and her sister would play the competitions, is what Rachel Riley proposed. Yeah. Is that any less ridiculous than straddling a giant banana for the power of veto? Like, yeah.
Rachel won most of her HOHs.
It's true.
I think that would have been really cool. And not just because she would have worked with Janelle. Like, I think, like, you know, I don't know. We've had twins come in and out of the house. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would be that crazy to me that we could have done that without an issue.
Yeah, Big Brother Canada had brothers come in and play 1 week on, 1 week off for the comps. But in this scenario, if literally Alyssa's coming in, doing the comps, and then leaving, and then Rachel's doing everything else, I feel like that could have been an entertaining thing to have in the house. I feel like
I would have loved it. I think it was really cool.
That would have been an incredible idea.
I would have been okay with put Rachel Riley, lock her in a hotel room, get out the Sam robot, and put the Rachel Riley face iPad on it. Strap that in there. She's going into. I mean, they let her go in and then go and fight with Reagan in Big Brother 12. They could let the Sam robot back out and have Rachel controlling it.
Could you imagine of her going for Nicole Franzel? Like, Nicole Franzel, grab a light fast.
Game
on, mother freaker.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
That's so funny.
Okay. So we'll see. Just some ideas for brainstorming. Okay.
I think it would be good though. But yeah, Janelle's been talking about Rachel a few times. I think because Janelle and Rachel are the two. I think two and Danielle Reyes are like the three queens of Big Brother in my opinion. I know you guys were just talking about how Danny is trying to take it from Janelle, but she also has
Danny.
I like queens supporting queens, Josh.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay, why do we have to have another vagicide? That's what I call it, is a vagicide season where all the girls go. This is an American Idol. Like, let's keep going. Like, let's stop with this. The girls, I love the girls more than the guys on this show. So
vagicide hasn't really caught on.
I think it should start. I think vagicide it's been things in seasons 12 and 16, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That hasn't really been Puya, is that a home run with the branding?
I feel like I don't think we're gonna see an alliance named that anytime soon, I'll tell you that much. We'll see.
So funny.
All right, Josh, anything else?
You know, with the current season, I just have to say is I do love the live feeds. It's so hard right now watching Nicole Anthony struggle and just be so misted by Kevin. Like, he just is tanking her game. And it's just, it's so hard to watch. This poor girl.
Awful. It's terrible.
Like, literally Janelle sitting in a room hysterically crying, like, oh, what did I do to Nicole Anthony? And on the other hand, Nicole Anthony sitting there like saying, I hate Janelle. Like, what is going on?
Josh, what is going on?
Are they playing the same game? Like, what's the deal?
Just absurd.
Yeah, Ryan, this is like a classic like sitcom misunderstanding at this point. Like, I thought you were coming for me. Oh, I thought you were coming for me.
This is like a really bad episode of Two and a Half Men, which Janelle once visited the set to. Yes.
I just hope that they have a powwow. Here's my thing. I am like that person in denial right now. I really still feel I'm the only one on the planet that thinks Nicole Anthony still might have a chance for this vote. If her and Janelle get together.
I might be turning a bit in the last few hours.
I'm more subscriber to the opposite. I feel like that if she has her best chance to stay is to openly declare war on Janelle.
You get Julie's job if you say you don't like Janelle, apparently.
Yeah. If she calls that house meeting that Danny wants her to call because Danny is just like so Janelle-less, let's go. I'm here for it.
Okay. All right. Josh, thank you so much for coming back on this week. Okay.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay. Keep supporting the cause. Janelle Kaser 2020.
Anytime.
All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Puya had found something we talked about earlier in the show. We talked about what's going on with Big Jeff. You remember Big Jeff, Ryan?
I would call Big Jeff. Yeah. I Jordan seemed like a sweet girl. I wasn't Jeff's biggest fan.
Yeah. Big Jeff actually played with Kevin back in BB11. There was an Instagram post a couple of months ago that Big Jeff was going to go shoot a movie. And everybody's like, oh, that's really strange. But lo and behold, Puya, what did you find here?
So what I found here is a post. He did indeed do a movie. I remember during the preseason, there was this big like rumor mill of like, was this a bluff? Is he gone? Is he in sequester? No, he's in a movie called The Inheritance.
The Inheritance. Which, that sounds like an alliance name Memphis and Cody would come up with.
I feel like maybe this would even be better than The Commission.
That's a little far, Puya.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we're going to maybe, you know, that to some like Derek and Dan are gone. We'll inherit the money this season.
Yeah. Or the hand-me-downs would probably be the better, the more accurate depiction. But yeah, so we now know he was filming this The Inheritance. And just look at the numbers he put out there. Almost 50 people.
Yeah, over here, let me give you the Instagram post. Here's a still from the set. Jeff Schroeder says, that's a wrap. Had an amazing experience filming The Inheritance the past 3.5 weeks with some incredible people, both on and off camera. I want to thank everyone on the cast and crew from the top to the bottom. I have to mention almost 50 people, over 330 COVID tests performed in 17 days and 0 positives. I also want to thank my bosses and co-hosts at Daily Blast Live for working with me while I was on this project. Best crew on TV. Most importantly, to my wife and best friend, BB Jordan Lloyd, for always encouraging me. What is this, an Oscar acceptance speech?
Yeah, it's like, you were gone for 25 days, fam. Like, relax.
This is Apex Mountain for Jeff.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Ryan, can I ask you a question while you're here?
I know
that, yes, that you are, you know, of course, always involved with the sports entertainment. What would you answer to this question?
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now. At this point, Puya, I would take the ass beating from the mosquito one time. There is some mosquito in this house that I get that my entire ankles are just completely covered. Mosquito bites every day. I would just take the beat down and get it over with at this point.
It's on the ankles. Are you wearing socks? Because I had a mosquito bite that definitely went through a sock. How does that even happen?
That's dangerous.
I wouldn't even care if they were spread out across my body. They are all I've got one area across both ankles.
Yeah, not great.
Let's define the barriers. So this one beating from this one mosquito rub, is there like a one long duration after effect on it? Is it a one day scenario? Like how long? What are the diameters here?
I don't know. What do you think, Ryan? The mosquito comes out, hits me over the head with the steel chair while I'm podcasting, just proceeds to kick me while I'm down.
Yeah. So the only thing.
Do I get hospitalized?
But that's like, so am I overthinking this to ask how is the mosquito gripping any object to assault you with? Because it's a rather minute creature.
So
let's see. I feel like the mosquito would hit a mean people's elbow on you, Rob.
It's also probably a high flyer, a shooting star press, if you will.
Ooh,
you
know,
Or actually a 7-year itch, if you will. I would still say I keep my relationship the same. Here's the thing, though. If Janelle and Kaser said anything about mosquitoes, it would be then told the opposite way to the rest of the house. Mm-hmm. So that would be fun for them. That'd be cool.
All right. The great Ryan Popola. Ryan, we know
I'm sorry again.
Catch you on the bump, which I have several on my ankles. So, Ryan, tell us about what you'll be doing this Wednesday.
The bump, 10 a.m. Eastern on WWE Network, all of WWE social platforms, every Wednesday, our weekly morning show. A lot of fun. This week we have Adam Cole, who's getting ready to take on Pat McAfee at NXT TakeOver 30 this weekend. And, you know, we have AJ Styles coming on the program and a bunch of other guests, Kayla Braxton, Matt Camp, Evan T. Mack, and I will have a lot of fun. As over 50 episodes on demand, available both on WWE Network and all of our social platforms. And Raw tonight, 8, 7 Central on USA. Final Raw before SummerSlam this Sunday, 7 Eastern on WWE Network.
Okay. Ryan, always a pleasure, my friend, okay?
Yep. Last thing, be honest with me, guys. If they can win this HOH this week, does like America's Choice coup d'etat happen next week with the safety suite gone? Is that does a friendly twist for Janelle and Kacer come if they can just get through this week? I don't know. I'm out of the loop. I have not watched the program in almost a decade. Is it
something
conceivable?
New will start? So yes. That I think that new thing might come in and be favorable. That they do 3 weeks of something, and then there will be a new thing. Yeah, there'll be a new thing. They won't go a week without having a thing.
Okay. All right. I'm off to again. I
don't be surprised that they might have a chance to get back in. Though, hey, listen, look at the bright side. We might get to see Kacer voted out twice again this season.
Bob, what are you doing to pull you on right now? Come on.
I'm just saying that if he goes out, he might come back and then to go out again. So
I'll mess with the return. If we get a return of the Kacer and have him go in again, if he goes out again, I'm fine. Like I said, the fact that we got even a week out of him, happy.
Can I just run the scenario by you? Could we see Kacer voted out 5 times and never make the jury?
How would that
scenario is on the table.
How would the fifth happen?
Gets voted out, and then comes back in and gets voted out again.
That would be five. I was doing my math wrong. You're correct. Yeah, that would. Yeah,
there's a non-zero chance of that happening.
All right. Well, this was a cool way to end this conversation, Bobby. This was a lot of fun.
I mean, that would be unprecedented.
I suppose for the nostalgia, it would be like, you know, that's what I brought out.
What a throwback.
Yeah, that would be neat. Yeah. Well, all right. That's going to be fun for me to think about. Yeah. Well, I look forward to playing that out further next week here. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Puya, seriously, you're doing a great job. I've enjoyed your work. Bob, you're okay. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Okay. Nice meeting you, Ryan.
Likewise. Bye, guys.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Puya, how are you holding up?
I'm doing good.
I teased you. I said, like, hey, man, maybe we'll take a bathroom break after we talked to Rachel. You doing okay?
I'm 100 with you. I've been waiting for the bathroom break to come on after every guest.
You should have said something in the private chat.
I know, but then I didn't want to make it seem like the guest came in and I leave. Like, I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, well, let me know in the chat. Like I thought that I was going to really, I'm trying to just, ride it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to show that, you know, I got the endurance as well. You can trust in me in an alliance if we're good. So I don't want to jump off.
All right, let me ask you one last thing and then we'll get out of here. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Mindy Bond had a tweet. Can Puya evaluate the eating habits of the house guests? Who has the worst diet in the house? Hashtag the slop.
So I saw this and I can't exactly, zero in on the specific food items that are being eaten. Though I did think this is a good time to talk about, because I want to talk about this whole, the new have not pick 'em thing that's going on.
You like that?
I do like it. I do like it. I like that it makes someone have to pass the dime over to someone else. Obviously, there's situations like where Ian gets saved, if you're Memphis, from not picking somebody and gets to get some of the volunteers. We've obviously seen volunteers before. I like the idea that an outgoing have not person gets at least a reward for having to deal with it. Cause we've seen it with this group a lot this past week where, people were getting sick eating rubs. Yeah, I feel like the obvious answer is anyone that's having the slop is on the worst diet possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this twist?
I like this. I'm wondering if we could ever see somebody who is is a have not and is on the block. And I don't know if I guess David is on the block this week. Could anybody say if it's close, well, we vote out David, then he doesn't get to pick a have not for next week. Like, what happens if David goes out with the have not? Does the HOH get to pick one? Or is anybody like, right. Memphis is like, you know, not only for Memphis did he put David on the block this week, he also made him a have not. David or Memphis is very motivated to make sure David goes out of the house this week, because that is a man who not only has, he has two axes to grind against him. So I wonder if we could see it ever play out in the strategy. If somebody ends up being, if me and you keep putting each other back and forth on the have not, if we have a have not rivalry, I got to get you out of the house now, Puya. I don't want to go back up on the block or in the have not room.
Yeah, it's like, if I'm still there, Rob, you're going to eat this weird oatmeal concoction and have cold showers, and you're going to have to deal with it and deal with me being against you. So it's like a double ops. And as much as people want to say food isn't a good, like a helpful factor, food does a lot for you. Food brings you the joy.
People can also bring you the pain. Food is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Food is good. Good. Even if it's like plain, even if it's not much going on with it, it's still nutritious and supposed to be at least somewhat tasty, lest you have to have a brawl with the bidet like Enzo going through slop. So yeah.
All right, well, Puya, this was so much fun today. Anything else you want to talk about today?
I think we covered pretty much everything that I wanted to speak on today. It was very good. We got to, again, we got to talk about a lot of things. I did enjoy the Mari coming through with the alliances. That was a fun little mini game we got to play here. But I think we've covered everything, Rob. Janelle put tears through. I have to go and see this once we go offline here. But I don't care what happens. The fact that we have a season, I'm happy. The fact that there's content, yes, I'm happy. Both podcast form, TV form, and feeds form. I can't complain a lick. So okay. I'm just a happy customer here.
Yeah. We had a great time today. So much fun with Puya, with Rachel Swindler, Eric Curto, Ryan Pola, Mari, and Josh. So it was a jam-packed episode of The Slop again. So if you see slop happening this week, use hashtag SlopRHAP so we can mark it. You can leave us voicemails. robiswebsite.com/voicemail for that. And then we'll be back again to talk about everything next week on The Slop. But Puya, you're a busy guy, busy content creator. What do you have coming up this week?
Let's see. So I am going to be back talking about 90 Day Fiancé on the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up podcast, where we cover all iterations of 90 Day Fiancé, no matter how many of them are going on at the same time. I am finishing off getting my guests ready. We're going to record. It's going to be out sometime right before the weekend starts, get you a little bit of content before that. And of course, I will be back talking more Big Brother weekly. I'll be back again at the end of the week talking about some stuff on the feeds, most likely. So that's good. And I have been doing my own thing on Twitch as well for when I'm not doing the reality TV stuff. I dabble in tier listing nonsense and talking about some fun stuff over there on my Twitch. And you can just find me on Twitter at Puyaism for any of my musings and memes I like to generate through Big Brother, so I can get me a little bit of laughter and content too.
Don't make any Uncle Vito comparisons for Puya either.
No. Yeah. Can we talk about, can we just like land on that for a second? Sure. So my mentions were demolished
lit,
because yeah, Uncle Vito likes his Zoom backgrounds, and oh, who else is known with that? Puya. I am more handsome than Uncle Vito. I have better music taste than Uncle Vito. Probably I could do it better than a, can you, can we get the song? Can we get the track here?
which one?
The sexy Uncle Vito bump.
Let's see.
Sexy Uncle Vito, sexy Uncle Vito. I can do better than that. But ultimately,
sexy, you know, Uncle Vito,
there you go. I feel like I bring a lot more to the table than Uncle Vito. The Zoom backgrounds are the only similarity. And I hope when you added me, that's what you meant.
Okay.
It's all good.
All right. Well, Puya, you're one of my favorite mother freakers to talk to. So this is really, really fun to have you here with me on The Slop.
I appreciate being invited. It was very fun to co-pilot this ship with you, Rob. I look forward to The Slop next week. I had fun watching you and Jenny last week. And of course, you are one of my 9 bridesmaids.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Without a doubt. Yes. Okay. Be sure to check out tomorrow night. The LFC Roundtable is going to do their Stockwatch edition. They had Puya there last week to talk it through. See who's up, who's down. LFC Stockwatch, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. Of course, then we'll be back after Wednesday night's episode at 9:15. Taryn's got the update every morning for you. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel if you're watching the video. Click that bell for the notifications, or make sure you subscribe to our podcast feed as well. robiswebsite.com/iTunes, robiswebsite.com/BBpodcast. If you say, hey, just Big Brother for me, nothing else, no Survivor, no Renap, no nothing, no News AF, none of the other stuff, just Big Brother. That's at robiswebsite.com/BBpodcast. And of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Find out more about everything we have going on in our patron-only podcast community, patron-only podcast feed, and much more. That's at robiswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.